you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
How come some people get cat and some people get chrysanthemum?
Say that again?
Some people get cat. I mean, if you're in a spelling bee, they say, how do you spell cat? C-A-T.
Yeah.
And, okay, the next, who wants to be next? Deuce Davis said, I want to be next. And the teacher said, okay, how do you spell chrysanthemum?
Now, that one is beyond me. I have no idea.
What?
He sure is cool, isn't he?
Wrong. Try again, dumbass.
If the spirits cause you to become lost in the jungle, what should you do to find your way home? I don't know.
This is it.
This is it.
This is what we're talking about.
And now.
Let's go! Keep up that intensity! Let's go! Let's go!
Our feature presentation.
Not sure what he's saying. I think he's saying let's go, but I'm not positive.
No, I think he wants to stay.
Ah. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, a brand new program. A Monday morning, we've got full highlights of the MTV Video Music Awards from last night. I was very happy to see B.O.B. and Haley. Because I haven't seen them perform that live,
mm-hmm.
The airplane song. And they did a little something different with it. I was sort of surprised that they went this angle with it, but I guess you don't want to do it the same as you've always done it, right? You got to change it up a little bit. Yeah. Haley comes out, looking all cute. Sometimes you're on, you're really, you're
right,
nailing
you're like
it.
In the moment.
You're in the groove.
Yeah.
I don't feel that from either of them. Gotta be honest. I'm going to take your calls in a second. It's Kevin and Bean's What a Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. You can talk about the MTV Awards, anything else that happened this weekend, something in the news, questions, comments. And we have a pair of lift tickets to Mountain High.
All right.
And for the best call, we have a pair of Anytime season passes.
Okay.
How about that?
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. Going to release this on iTunes because
I'm going to buy it.
And I'm going down.
Big ending now. Yeah, B.O.B. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That wasn't B.O.B., by the way. That's Wing, a new Marine
what?
Comedian. Best song ever.
What?
It is the Kevin and Bean Show. Your calls now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. The best call of the day gets the anytime season passes. You may not be thinking of snowboarding right this second, but it's getting very close.
It'll happen really fast.
Exactly. So yeah. We're going to give away some passes for your calls, and then we're going to give away season passes for the best call at 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do, nephew?
So, homie, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
Already told you the prize, didn't I?
Yes.
Pair of lift tickets to Mountain High. Best caller of the day, a pair of Anytime season passes. Mountain High is celebrating the return of winter with their $299 Anytime Season Pass sale now through October 31st. Get more at mountainhigh.com. So
okay.
Basically, It'll only cost you $2.99. You can go every time you have an availability.
That's the best.
Yes. All right. Let's begin with a football call. Let's start with Art. Art is on the line.
What are you doing, nephew?
He's a very distraught Raiders fan.
Oh.
What
did you
do? What did you do, Kevin? What did you
What's going on?
Frustrating. Every year, there's promise this year. 3-1 in the preseason. Fine.
Yep.
But yesterday, come on. We lose by 25. The only thing I have for is Tuesday.
Hold on. I got to call on the other line. Hang on.
Raiders.
Yeah.
The guy knows. Dude, the guy knows you don't have to rub it in.
What was the score?
Well, it was 38 to, I don't know, 1?
Something like that.
What was it, 38-13?
Yeah,
same thing.
Same thing.
How sad.
The Raiders are unbelievable. They lost to Tennessee, but they, you know, a lot of people say there's a curse or whatever on whatever team. They find a way to lose in the most creative ways. And they
They'll be so close.
Yes.
Yeah.
And something weird will happen. They weren't really close this game, but they'll snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, as they say. Mm-hmm. They just figure out a way to just lose, baby.
That is sad.
Yeah. Wait, do you kind of Burma jerseys? Such a team or still?
Dude. Such teams.
I don't think you. I mean, were you born a Raider fan?
Yeah. I went to the games of the Coliseum.
You're
I went
stuck.
All that murder and. You know, stabbing and all that
stuff. Sure, when you go through murder and stabbing, that's how
that's it. You can't get out.
That's how they jump in Raider fans.
Yeah.
You have to commit murder and get stabbed.
They don't let you out, Art.
We just don't say anything.
Art, I don't think you have a choice, dude. I mean, if you were born a Raider fan, you're stuck. You have to wait it out until the old man sells the team, and then everything will change. I honestly believe that it's Al Davis is the problem.
Yeah, but Kevin, I heard that Al Davis' mom died at 108.
I know.
We're screwed.
You're so screwed.
Oh, my God, Kevin.
108. All right, well, sorry about that. It was not the opening weekend that you had hoped for, I imagine. But it was fun to see a lot of football this weekend. That was great. All right, let's go to Terry. Hi, Terry.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
What it do?
Hey, Terry, what it do?
What it do?
What's going on?
Yeah, this weekend I was playing golf and one of my tee shots took a nasty slice and hit someone on the head and split it open.
Hit someone in the head?
Really?
Yeah, it was horrible. I felt bad. The guy had to go to the hospital and get 3 stitches.
How far away from where you were supposed to hit it did you hit it? You said you sliced it, which means it took off to the right,
probably about 30, 50 yards off.
Wow, yeah. And that guy wasn't looking. Did you yell four?
I did yell, but he didn't hear it.
Yeah.
He just felt something on his head and fell to the ground.
I got hit with a golf ball in the leg one time that was about 150 yards, and I heard, and you know, I'm just screwing around out there. I don't golf.
Right.
And I heard somebody yell, four, four. So I started running. I didn't see the ball, but I just figured.
You wouldn't see it, the ball.
I just figured if he's yelling four, I better run because I'm in the way.
Right.
And apparently, from that guy's view, he told me later, I ran from where I was all the way over into the path of the ball, and I literally ran into the golf ball. That happened.
Not a good feeling.
Yeah, it wasn't a good feeling, but it was my thigh. It wasn't my head. So a golf ball to the dome, that's a little more rough.
That's a bad day at the golf course.
For him, not for you, for him.
Well, amazingly, after that, I shot pretty well.
Of course you kept playing.
What kind of a penalty is that? I'm not sure how that works. Do you take a penalty?
3 stitches, I think that's a one-stroke penalty.
Oh, just one. Okay. All right.
That's not so bad. Yeah.
All right, that's not too bad. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's. You know what we should do? We're out of time. Let's do the. Let's give the Raider fan the.
Because we feel bad for him.
Because he's a Raider.
Yeah,
fan.
Yeah, I agree.
And they just. They really.
And he can murder and kill on the slopes.
Right. Exactly. Instead of at the football game, so that guy will win the season passes.
Okay.
Let's talk about it. All new Kevin and Bean show. We have LaQuisha. There was a special.
Jersey Shore
last night.
Yeah.
After the MTV Awards, we have highlights of the MTV Awards. And I want to know just one thing. Why on earth did Ralph Garman not, knowing what he knew, why didn't he prepare us for the fact that Chelsea Handler is terrible? I am very upset at him.
I was hoping for more. I have
she
to be honest.
She was awful.
Wasn't good.
And Ralph was like, oh, I'm so excited. I'm so happy. I love her so much.
I know.
And she was not. She was bad.
Yeah. It's a hard show to host,
I think. And yet she did it.
Who's been good?
It's a very hard show to host because
Russell Brand wasn't good.
The crowd
is
not like a crowd that's there for comedy. No. Most of the people in the front are the artists, so they're not really clapping.
Big sense of humor people.
Having said that, she was terrible.
No, I was thinking about that too. Lisa is exactly right, because even if you do happen to stumble across something that's funny, half the time at those MTV shows, nobody laughs.
No.
And people are just screaming for like Justin Bieber, whoever it is, and there's no relation to what's going on stage. It's like a chaotic mess. So even though she was terrible, I'm not trying to defend her. It's an impossible show to do well.
I really
she
think
had an average joke or two, and it got no response.
Some of them, I just thought, that's just not funny.
That's just, oh,
I mean,
it was
at
terrible.
All, not so, funny.
We brought in highlights of that. We're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Okay.
About all the celebrities. We're going to talk to Chris Harrison, who is a person that I'm not familiar with. He's the host of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette and The Bachelor Pad.
Well, that's because you're a guy, Kevin.
Yeah, so is Ralph. He knows all about it.
Yeah, I know. It's very odd. It's a very odd thing he does.
We're going to talk to him. We got Matt Manning-Smith coming into the studio to talk NFL.
Okay.
Very excited about that. We have Andrew Jenks, who is the, you know, they should have advertised that this World of Jenks is on. After the MTV Video Music Awards.
Never heard of it.
See, because it was on all the time.
Yeah.
I am the world's best gambler. I'll tell you that story. Yeah. And we have your tickets, two-day tickets and backstage passes for Epicenter 2010 coming up this morning as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and Ralph Garman is here for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new week. What's going on, Ralph?
Since it's Monday morning, we always take a look at the weekend's hot box office movies. Number one this weekend, by far, was Resident Evil Afterlife, the fourth in the Resident Evil trilogy, starring Mila Jovovich.
I sort of have a boner.
And Ali Larder and Wentworth Miller did very good numbers for early September. $27.7 million made it number one this weekend.
About that.
Not much in the way of competition. I think it benefited from that, but also from the fact that it's done in 3D. Not just any 3D, but James Cameron's 3D technique, which a lot of people enjoyed in Avatar, so they wanted to check it out in Resident Evil, and it was well used in that film. I enjoyed it enormously. I checked it out this weekend. Takers was number two this weekend with $6.1 million. A big drop off from one to two. American was third, then Machete. Going the Distance, The Other Guys. Number seven was The Last Exorcism. The Expendables came in at number eight. Inception and Eat, Pray, Love, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. F you, Kevin.
What?
I told you,
about
Chelsea Handler.
Oh, man, you didn't.
For my whole life, I've been telling everybody
you
about Chelsea Handler.
You did not properly prepare me for how bad she was.
Do yourselves a favor, folks. Go to iTunes today when it comes out and subscribe to Hollywood Babylon, the podcast I do with Kevin Smith. If you'd like to hear the uncensored, my uncensored take on Chelsea Handler, we did a big chunk Friday night, and at some point, the audience was groaning. And at other points, they were cheering. That's all I can say. But it's very refreshing to be able to use the words you really want to use when you talk about someone like Chelsea.
Yeah. I tried to go into it with an open mind. I was like, I haven't seen her. I don't watch her. I don't know her late night show. Ralph hates her, but I don't know that I will. Sometimes we like different things. I'm going to go with an open mind. And 30 seconds in, I was like, wow.
See what happens?
Horrible.
See what happens when you have an open mind?
I know.
Someone poops in it. That's what happens when you have an open mind. That's why I keep my mind closed at all times.
Well.
To protect someone from pooping.
I need to learn that lesson.
Chelsea Handler will poop in your mind if you leave it open. That's all I'm saying.
She was bad.
Here's who won the big awards last night. I did not watch. So
really?
I'm looking forward to Kevin's update.
Yeah.
Because I won't have anything to do with her or anything she's in.
Well, that was the right call.
Thank you, sir. Video of the year, Lady Gaga for Bad Romance. She did very well. She was nominated for 13 awards, took home 8. Including Best Female Video, which is also Bad Romance. Best Male Video went to Eminem for Not Afraid. Best New Artist. Who could have been given Best New Artist on the MTV Awards?
If it was voted for by the fans as well. Not just, you know, the normal way. The fans were voting for Best New Artist.
Yeah. Justin Bieber. Got that. Best Collaboration went to Lady Gaga and Beyonce for Telephone. I dig that song. I think it's pretty cool. Hip Hop Video went to Eminem, Not Afraid. Best Pop Video was Lady Gaga's Bad Romance. Best Rock Video, hey, is a category we actually care about. 30 Seconds to Mars, Kings and Queens. Best Dance Music Video was Lady Gaga's Bad Romance. Best Breakthrough Video, The Black Keys, Tighten Up. And those are most of the big awards.
Bad Romance.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like we were making fun of that song 3 years ago, two
it
years
seems
ago?
Like it's been around a while.
What do they consider the last year, MTV?
They have their own guidelines. I think it just goes from awards to awards.
But, wow, it seems to me like that song was literally a couple of years old.
I don't think
it is. Oh, wow.
No. I know the movie awards are like that, too. You'll see something will be up for an MTV movie award, and you're like, really? I've had that on Blu-ray for a year.
Right.
How can that possibly be nominated for an award?
Seems like to me.
Britney Spears was at Disneyland over the weekend, taking her two little boys to ride some of the rides. It's nice to be Britney Spears. Apparently, they shut down the Dumbo ride so she could just go on there with her sons and her boyfriend, Jason Trawick. And they got to ride Dumbo all by themselves.
Wow.
And then Jason got to ride Dumbo later.
Hey, now!
I think I do, yeah. I'm
not
sure. Have
you video
of
her laughing? Any audio of Britney Spears just laughing?
I do. Yeah, you want that?
Yeah. Right. That's a great clip.
It is. She's a long ways away from the microphone, too. That makes it better.
TMZ.com claims that she's got a nice, shiny new rock on her engagement ring finger.
Really?
So they're speculating perhaps Jason Trawick will be the next piece of meat in that Venus flytrap.
Now, who? He's her manager?
He was.
Was.
I don't know if he still acts in that capacity, but they certainly have been dating for a while.
All right. You want to go now with Britney? I mean, now.
Yeah, really.
Now, after what she's been
Look,
through.
Maybe he loves her.
Nope.
I'm just saying. Spencer Pratt got into a touch of trouble over the weekend. Turns out you can't really bring a gun to an airport anymore.
Oh, are you kidding me?
He was popped in Costa Rica on gun charges over the weekend.
So international flight, even better?
Yeah, they really encourage you to bring weapons on international flights.
Wow. What is he doing with a gun?
He said that he had been living alone in the jungle for a week in Costa Rica as part of a spiritual cleansing. And he mistakenly brought his hunting weapons to the airport, because I'm sure he really had to track and kill his own game in order to survive in the jungle.
You liar!
He's been asked to no longer come to Costa Rica.
Really?
Really?
Wow.
They have requested he not so much be in their country
Can
anymore.
We make that decision for the United States?
Wouldn't that be nice? Who do we talk to?
He just has to fly around and everyone keeps saying nope.
Let's ban him.
Can we put him on the Chelsea Handler list, as I like to call it, where people should be banned from these United States of America? He did it on 9/11, too, which I think is kind of touching. The nice tribute.
It was Saturday?
Yeah, that he would bring a weapon on an international flight going into the country.
September 11th.
On September 11th. That's sweet.
Hey, maybe he's Al-Qaeda. Have you thought of that?
You know what? That would make a lot of sense in a lot of circumstances. Because he certainly is a terrorist in my own personal life. Vampire Weekend's playing 3 sold-out shows this week at New York City's Radio City Music Hall. What a great venue and a great band. For that location, too, because they're real good in intimate settings.
Yep.
And Alice in Chains is hitting the road this week, headlining a tour. It's a triple bill that includes Deftones and Mastodon. That's a good lineup.
All right.
Yeah. The arena tour begins Thursday in Chicago and then wraps up October the 16th in Las Vegas, Nevada, if you want to check that out. So, Alice's new singer-guitarist, William Duval, by the way, says that the band will eventually start working on a new album.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, they got that going for him, too. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Ben Savage.
Yeah!
He's the brother of Fred Savage, but he had his own successful career as Boy Meets World on the TV series Boy Meets World. How can you possibly be that excited about Boy Meets World?
That's a good question.
Come on.
That's in his wheelhouse.
Yeah, I mean, you got to know how much Topanga's in my spank bank.
No, I love Topanga, don't get me wrong. I watch her over there on the Style Network all the time, but this is Ben Savage we're talking about.
Yeah, that's true.
Singer Fiona Apple's 33 years old today. Whatever happened to Fiona Apple?
I don't know.
There couldn't have been anyone hotter at the moment when she had that big breakthrough.
Yeah, that was weird. I don't know what happened to her.
I hate to shine some bad light on her, but the last thing I heard she did was Margaret Cho's album.
Oh, well, there you go. Now we know what happened to Fiona Apple.
Ouch.
One bad apple don't spoil a whole bunch, though. I say.
Some cases it might.
Some cases it might. Tyler Perry! Medea's got her groove back, or whatever the hell that movie is. That
dude's
does.
Worth like $1 billion.
Yeah, well, he's got his own private island, if that's what you mean. He's 41 years old today. Congratulations, Tyler Perry. Randy Jones of The Village People's 58.
All right.
I'm pretty sure he was the cop.
I'm not sure.
I'll have to look into it.
All right.
And
do some research.
Stephen Perkins of Porno for Pyros and Jane's Addiction, drummer for those bands. He's 43 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We've got your tickets for 2-day tickets, actually, and backstage passes for the Epicenter 2010 coming up. So keep listening for your chance to win those. We have highlights, if you can call them that, of the MTV Awards, which were last night, hosted by Chelsea Handler, who is not funny.
She's effing horrible on every level.
It's a tough gig. It's a tough room, but yet, and yet, still, she was super bad. Just really super bad. Sorry.
If people didn't like your jokes, at least have good jokes.
Right. If they don't hear them, they're not paying attention. That's them.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you know what they say it every year? Oh, it's such a hard show to do. You can't host like a regular award show. Well, then adapt. Then change how you're going to do it. Come out and make funny faces. I don't know. Do fart jokes. Whatever it takes to work in that context.
Yeah.
Get it done.
She did not do that. And we have highlights coming up. I am a world champion poker player.
You are.
A lot of you people may not know that.
I was not aware of that. But since the last time we played at a tournament, I remember you going out early.
I went out very early. Yes. That tournament, that was my choice. I wanted to go out early.
Oh, I see. I understand.
To set up further tournaments down the road.
You're clever.
So Saturday, I figured I would go. The Commerce Casino is having this Hold'em series. So they have a tournament every day. So Saturday, I was thinking, hey, I should go play in that. And it starts at like 2 p.m. And I was planning on going to the Galaxy game that night because Beckham was coming back to play. Also. So, and I figured, I'll probably be knocked out by then, no problem. So, but if I don't, I'll be winning a lot of money, so then I won't care.
Right.
So I drive to Commerce Casino, and it is 40 minutes from my house, probably, 40 minutes.
It's not too bad.
Drive there.
At least it's beautiful, and it's in a lovely part of the world.
It's not in a good part of town. It's not too bad, though. It's for poker, it's great.
Yeah.
But huge parking lot. So I park and I walk and I walk and then I stop for a lunch break and then I walk and walk and go inside. And then, you know, you have to stand in line. You have to get a player's card.
Sure.
That's how they verify your age and everything. And they give you a player's card. Then you have to go get in line to line up for the, you know, to get into the tournament. And it was $120. All right. And you could win $100,000.
Wow.
That's a good investment.
Right. So $120. I thought, this is great. I'm going to win big dough. I'm going to come in on Monday. I'm going to be so rich. Stood in line there for 20 minutes, got there. You get your table assignment, seat 25.
At least you're a patient man.
Yeah, I know. Like table 25, seat 3, and you go. You don't know anyone there. You sit down at the table, and they wait, and they're all official. They start the clock. And the first hand that was dealt to me was an ace-king. For those of you that don't know poker, that's a really strong hand. And I thought, this is great. What a start. And somebody else bet like 3-4 times what was in the pot. And I was like, all right, this guy has like a good hand, and I'm going to really.
Maybe he's got pocket sixes or something, right?
Like that.
He's got a pair of something lower, and you're going to come in and hopefully clean up.
Even mid-range pockets, people will just go crazy betting, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this guy bets a lot, and then I re-raise him, and then he goes all in.
Wow.
First hand. And I was like, I have ace king. This is going to be awesome. I'm going to double up. So I called him. So we're both all in, which means that we put all our chips on the table. Everybody, if you lose, you're out. I have ace king. I turn over my ace king all smug. He has ace 10.
So you're already looking better.
So now I'm way ahead because the chances that, if an ace comes out, I win because my king beats his 10.
Right.
So no problem. This is great. I'm going to double up. And then they gave us the flop, which is the first three cards, and there were a pair of tens there.
And he had what again?
Ace 10.
Ace 10.
Yeah. Plus two more tens.
So that gives him three tens.
Yeah. Three of a kind.
Right.
And you've got what?
I have an ace and a king.
Two perfectly good cards.
Yes.
That stand alone looking lovely.
They're very attractive cards.
However, not so much working together
however,
at this point.
However, you need more than one usually to do well.
Even if you have a pair, you don't beat three of a kind.
Because three would be more than two.
Right.
Yes.
So I'm guessing the total time that I spent in the tournament was 2.5 minutes.
And you were out?
Maybe 2.5 minutes.
You are truly a force to be reckoned with in the poker world.
And I backed away from the table, and I hung my head.
This is the saddest thing.
I was the first one out. And I walked out through the rest of the maze of tables. And I went down. I went out in the parking lot. I went and got my car. And I drove home 40 minutes.
So how much time do you think you invested in all the accoutrement, if you will, of the tournament?
I'd say probably easily 2 hours.
2 hours of your life.
Yeah.
Invested in the preparation.
Right. Getting there, getting back, and then the actual tournament play, a couple of minutes, and gone.
Wow.
So then I sat around. I took a nap and went on a vacation. Still had time to get to the Galaxy game. No problem whatsoever.
You are not a winner.
I'm not a winner. Ralph did a story last week in the showbiz about Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. And I got to tell you, it sounds like they really have the perfect relationship.
It does.
Such good news.
I've never heard a bad thing
Katie
out of their
mouth. And Tom Cruise hit the red carpet together. I guess she's got a new movie coming out called The Romantics. Mm-hmm. So, of course, everybody has to ask, hey, your movie's The Romantics. Is your husband romantic? And she says,
what does she say?
My husband has red roses for me everywhere I go and whenever we travel. Isn't that great? He's so sweet.
He is.
Later in the day, they drop by the Ed Sullivan Theater to be on David Letterman, and Tom and his daughter's son played together in Central Park. Oh, so perfect.
It's a great family.
They've been married since 2006. She says the couple's relationship is hotter than ever. And she also told Regis and Kelly that her daughter, Suri, dresses her. She won't let me leave unless I'm wearing what she wants me to wear. She has great taste. So there's just nothing wrong with anything having to do with these two people. And that's sweet to see, don't you think?
Yeah.
That kind of perfection.
It's encouraging.
We have a relationship with Tom. We've got him on the phone. Hi, Tom Cruise.
I love women, especially my wife. Morning, Kevin Devine. How are you?
We are good. Thank you. How are you?
I am outstanding.
Yeah.
I have an amazing relationship with my wife.
You do?
It's never been hotter. Our child is remarkable. She's a genius.
Right.
And
let's take these one at a time. It's never been hotter. All right. You got married in 2006. So that's 4 years going on five. Okay. And never hotter.
Nope.
Just everything great.
Yes.
Have you ever had an argument? One argument.
Kevin. Don't be glib.
Okay.
Of course we've had an argument.
You have?
Yes.
Okay.
We once had an argument about who was nicer, Katie or me. I keep saying Katie's nicer, and she keeps saying I'm nicer. And finally we just had to agree to disagree.
That's...
And we're both just... freaking amazing people. And our life is perfect, and it's better than yours.
That's not... Well, that's true. That's not really an argument, though. I mean, that doesn't count as an argument. I don't think. She said you give her red roses everywhere you go.
Is yes, that, everywhere I go.
Every day?
Everywhere. She leaves the kitchen, where I have red roses.
Right.
We go to the bathroom, and waiting for her in the bathroom are red roses.
Wow.
Then when she comes out of the bathroom, I have a new bouquet of red roses waiting for her in the hallway. And as she leaves the hallway and goes down the stairs, I've strewn the stairs with rose petals as she makes her way to the living room where I've got a brand new fresh bouquet of red roses. And then when she goes back to the kitchen, I replace the red roses that were originally in the kitchen with a brand new bouquet of red roses. And in the fridge, when she gets milk out for her coffee, there's red roses in the fridge.
Okay.
I've replaced the coffee actually with ground rose petals for her to drink.
Right.
So she drinks like rose coffee.
Right.
And then she gets in the car to take Suri to school, and the car is filled with roses.
It strikes me.
Then we
me
have to hire someone to remove all the roses from the car so she can get in it and actually use the car. But when she arrives at Suri's school waiting for her there, I have red roses waiting for her. When she drops Suri off, and then when she returns to the car after she's dropped her off, once again, the car is filled with red roses.
Yeah. You have to have someone clean that out.
And then I have someone clean that out so she can get in the car and use it and then come home. When she gets home in the driveway, I've had the driveway actually paved with rose bushes.
Right.
Which is not practical because you can't really park there any longer. So I have those removed, and then she parks. And then when she comes in the house, again,
Red roses. Red roses. All right, listen. It strikes me that maybe there's a little exaggeration going on there. I mean, maybe there's just a tad. I mean, you don't. I mean, really, right?
It doesn't seem practical.
It's not. You don't do that.
All right, I don't fill the car with roses.
That part isn't
true. I just put them all over the top of the car.
I see.
And then the windshield wipers have to move the roses out.
Yeah. Wow.
My daughter's a genius. Did I mention my daughter's a genius?
Yeah, your daughter's a genius.
I love my daughter.
She dresses you.
She's
she
a
dresses,
woman.
She
I
dresses
love
your wife, right? Right.
Yes. Suri's amazing. She's the smartest little girl. She's incredible. She has great taste in clothing.
Mm-hmm. How old is Suri, Tom?
She is 3-ish. 4, somewhere in there.
Don't you know that? I mean, because...
I have people for that. I really don't have to keep track of that. I have someone who reminds me when I need it to know. Who's not around here right now.
Okay, so she's 3-ish.
She's young.
And she has great taste
amazing
in clothing.
Amazing taste in clothing. She's remarkable. She's talented. She's beautiful. She... you know, she came up with the plan to cap the oil well that was bleeding into the Gulf Coast.
What are you talking about?
That was her idea. She came up with that tap system.
She can't possibly even understand the way oil works.
The bottom fills, that was her idea. She said, let's pump mud in first before we put the concrete in. And then
I didn't see that story.
And now she's the CEO of BP.
Is that right?
Yeah. stock's going up.
She's pretty sharp,
she's
that little 3-year-old.
Better than you.
She is better than me.
She's better than everyone.
Yeah.
As am I and my wife.
Right. So your relationship.
Perfect, and you are not.
Right. Okay. I'm saying if you're going to exaggerate, sometimes you should exaggerate as little as possible because then it makes it a little more believable.
I feel
that's all
just the otherwise. If you're going to exaggerate, just lie your ass off.
I see.
Some people will believe it.
Just go full bore.
And that's all that matters.
All right.
I love women.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And go Elrond.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and the MTV Video Music Awards were on last night.
Woo! Moon Man!
And they were
Moon Man!
They were hosted by Chelsea Handler.
I didn't see the show last night. Maybe you could do me a favor and just give me the highlights. So I don't feel like I missed out.
Can I give you more than the highlights? Because that won't last long enough.
I see.
The show started with Eminem, which I thought that's the way to start a show. It's just they don't announce him or anything. He just comes right on and starts singing.
Read my lyrics off of this paper before I lay them. But you won't take this thing off these words before I say them. Because ain't no way I'm going to let you stop me from causing man. When I say I'm going to do something, I do it. I don't give a damn what you think.
So he does I'm Not Afraid, and then he does Love the Way You Lie with Rihanna. Great start.
Great. Awesome.
Yeah. Great start. All downhill from there. Then it goes to Chelsea Handler. Ralph, who's Chelsea Handler? Because I don't know her. I've never seen her show. Is it on E?
Chelsea Handler was part of a sketch comedy group called Girls Behaving Badly. And they weren't funny. And then, for some reason, Ted Herbert, the head of E, was attracted to her. And then she started banging him. And so then he gave her own show on E! Called Chelsea Lately, which is on every night, I think, on the network.
You're
saying
that she allegedly slept her way to the top? It actually worked that way?
It's got to be, because if you ever have watched her do anything, any sort of stand-up or hosting or her own show, she's never been funny, not once. She's anti-funny. You become less funny if you're around her.
I've never seen her, and I thought, I'm going to try and give her the benefit of doubt. I know Ralph, he warned me.
Right.
But I'm going to try and just say... Sometimes Ralph and I have different tastes. I'm gonna. Maybe she's better than Ralph is saying. Wow, she was so bad. And I was like, why didn't Ralph warn me?
I told you she's infuriatingly horrible.
She did run into Lindsay Lohan in backstage, and this is what that sounded like.
Hello, Chelsea.
Hey, Lindsay.
Have you been drinking?
No.
Really? Then why is your ankle bracelet going off? Hmm?
Oh, that just means that my table's ready at the Cheesecake Factory.
See, because
F her.
Her table's ready at the Cheesecake Factory.
If they make you carry a pager.
They wrote that down. So that was Lindsay. At least that had a little star power. Now she comes out on stage and she's telling jokes and she's referring to the Taylor Swift thing from last year.
Oh, a big, big thing between Taylor Swift and Kanye West.
Kanye West runs out of the stage.
They're back again after a year. Well, what's going to happen?
Right. So Chelsea tries to turn that into comedy. And I think you can hear, I did edit this clip, but only to shorten it. Because it was so much longer than this, and it'll be hard to believe when you hear it. But she deals with the fact that if somebody comes on stage, she's got an answer for you.
Okay, so it's time to address the big black elephant in the room. Where's Kanye? People are a little bit nervous that there's going to be a repeat of last year, but I don't want anybody to worry about any of that happening. I've taken care of everything. If you are an artist and you're accepting an award this evening, and for some reason your speech is interrupted by a random person, I have developed a technique to nip it in the bud. Allow me to demonstrate. Please come forward, random person.
So a guy comes out in one of those head-to-foot suits that you learn like rape to fight against
rape,
kick him in the balls and all that kind of stuff. He's got a full body suit.
He's all padded. He's all defensive suit.
Yes.
Right?
Okay, here I am. I'm just an innocent 19-year-old girl minding my own business trying to get a VMA. Uh-oh, somebody's interrupting me. Uh-oh, no.
She kicks him.
My award, my choice!
That happened.
God damn it. You know what?
As
I listen to it, I realize the thing that really bugs me about her, she's the drunk girl at every party who thinks she's funny.
She really does seem to enjoy her own humor.
And so she just bellows at the top of her lungs, thinking, everyone look at me, how funny I am. And also, I'm sexy and you want me. And none of those things are true.
That's very true, yeah.
Maybe the highlight for me, and this, I'm not sure they intended it this way, but the highlight for me of the show was the commercial for Jackass 3D. That was the highlight for me, because I don't know if you've seen this clip, but they've had it all over the place, but it's Bam Margera, and he's walking into the hallway, and they have this gigantic hand, and Wee Man says high five, and the hand swings around and just knocks Bam on his ass.
That's pretty awesome.
It is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
This is all flour for our friend Bam. We're going to antique him when he gets here.
What's up? How much? How you been? High five!
His feet fly out from underneath him. Yeah. He lands on
his
back.
It's just enormous, and it just comes from nowhere.
I could watch that a thousand times in a row.
And I'm sure you will.
A thousand times in a row. So damn funny. All throughout the show, they kept announcing the tweet total.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And it wasn't like to congratulate themselves. To me, it sounded like it was a plea for tweets. Like, hey, everybody, let's get out there and really join the tweeting so that this is, so they announce it. But then remember, it was Taylor Swift was the one that got kind of short shrifted last year.
Oh my God, when Kanye came on stage, remember?
So this is the tweeting announcement, and then they go into their Taylor Swift self.
The VMAs are blowing up on Twitter with just about 1 million VMA related tweets since the pre-show began. Rihanna's surprise performance set Twitter on fire. With over 4,700 tweets per minute. And coming up next, a performance by Taylor Swift.
That's how it happened.
She got screwed again.
They can't even say her name. Yeah, they just cut to a commercial.
That's so funny.
Coming up next, Taylor Swift.
Poor Taylor.
She just can't get a break. Then Chelsea Handler was back on stage.
Oh, good.
And she was talking about the guy from True Blood. What's his name? The guy, we talked to him. He's the werewolf, the tall, good-looking guy.
The new werewolf. Yeah.
Manganiello?
Wow, she had some comedy set for that.
I want to say hi to Joe Manganiello. Where are you from True Blood? Where are you? You're a hot piece of ass, wherever you are. And I want to let you know, where are you, Joe? Forget it. It's not important. I was planning on catching a ride home with T.I. tonight, but obviously that's not a possibility anymore. So I was wondering, Joe, if I could take a ride home on your face.
See how edgy?
Sit down.
See how edgy and
Sit
funny she
F
is?
Down.
That's not clever.
Now, here's the difference with if you're hot. If you're hot, you can get away with a lot. So Sofia Vergara comes out. Yeah. And she has some comedy prepared about all the guys hitting on her on the red carpet.
Yes.
And she doesn't know B.O.B. She's not familiar
she
with...
She doesn't have to.
Right.
She's perfect.
Right. That's my point.
Yes.
So she made a little mistake.
I don't know why, but when I was on the red carpet, a lot of men were hitting on me. So now I get to turn the tables. B.O., I would ride in your airplane anytime.
B.O., she calls him B.O.
Well, maybe she knows him personally. It's like when you call someone by their first name. She doesn't need to go with the final B.
Because she's
tight with him.
She's speeding
just,
it up.
It's just B.O. to him.
B.O., I'd like to ride in your plane anytime. She didn't know it, and I didn't care because she's so hot. I was like, hey, good for you.
Have her host next year.
And you know, B.O.B. didn't care either. B.O.B.'s like, yeah, whatever you say, bro.
I bet B.O.B. thought that was funny. But for my money, Aziz Ansari was the best because they started with Eminem, mm-hmm. who, by the way, I forgot to mention this. Eminem performed two songs, and then he won an award maybe 15 minutes later and was already gone. He's gone.
He wasn't there to collect.
Eminem's not here. He's
he had a performance to do someplace, didn't he?
That's what they said. Yeah. He had to catch a plane back to New York to perform with Jay-Z, but it doesn't make it – like, he couldn't have made it that night. So he didn't need to leave. So he wasn't there like 15 minutes after it. They ended with Kanye. And Aziz Ansari, who's always funny, he was introducing Kanye. And he came out and he told the audience that he wasn't really sure what happened last year.
I never thought I'd be asking Cher to hold my meat purse.
All right. Well, that was a whole
Aziz
different.
Sounds very feminine.
That was Lady Gaga, who did have a meat purse.
Well, who doesn't?
Go to the next one, then.
She's got a meat purse.
Was that 26 that you just played?
That was 25.
25, all right. So this should be the Aziz Ansari.
Ladies and gentlemen, I did not see last year's show, but everyone has been so mean to our final performer. Lord only knows what he did, but I don't think he deserves... Hold on one second. I'm going to have to... It's my good friend Ronnie from Jersey Shore. I'm going to have to take this.
Taking a call.
Yes, Ronnie. Well, what did he do, Ronnie? Yes, that Beyonce video was amazing. And then he did what? Well, I don't know what everyone's so mad about. about. That sounds hilarious. Ladies and gentlemen, Kanye West!
We gotta give him points for committing.
Maybe he had to see it. Because right now, didn't he host it last year?
Was he the host last year?
Wasn't it Russell Brown last year?
I don't remember.
Russell Brown did twice.
The movie awards.
Oh, the movie awards. Oh, I got you. Okay.
Yeah, so then Kanye came out and his song was terrible. Terrible.
No, but that was like him terrible. Apologizing to Taylor, saying how he makes mistakes, man. You got to forgive a douchebag.
Hmm. Yeah.
And then she had a song that came out and said how she's still innocent and she forgives him.
Here's a
man,
little,
it all. Man. Get
little,
it, man?
Here's a little Kanye.
Let's have a toast for the douchebags. Let's have a toast for the
See, so he's putting himself, he's saying, hey, everybody,
wow.
Hey, I'm making mistakes.
Let's celebrate bad behavior, people.
Can't we all
come
just
on.
Get along? Justin Bieber was there, and it was not good.
Paramore
performed, that was good.
That's good, is good.
Linkin Park performed, that was good.
And then, I heard a little of Taylor Swift's live performance, too, by the way.
Yeah, that was not good.
She is not a live singer. Per se.
I think
but,
we discovered that last year,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, she proved it once again. Yeah.
But she's good to look at. And
she's
that will
lovely.
Take, it'll take you a long way.
She's
ways.
Lovely, but Beyonce deserved that award. That's all I'm saying.
Last year, they should have just righted it. Yeah. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:56.
Yeah.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah.
Matt Money Smith.
Bears.
Slingbox.
The Bears.
Joined us here.
Galvin.
Yeah. Everybody's shoes. Everybody's shoes, P.
Why's that?
Matt did sports on our show for
Detroit,
about...
Detroit had their ass kicked by a bad ruling in the final seconds of the game.
Matt did our sports for about, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years? 8 years? 9 years? 10 years? Now he does AM talk show. It has nothing to do with sports, but no. They call it, you know, they say it does.
They pretend.
They talk about sports once in a while.
Every once in a while, yeah.
Calvin Johnson, rule. Let's react.
Unfortunately, it's usually soccer, though. That's the only problem when they do mention sports.
How about that Galaxy?
How about that Galaxy? That's soccer. What I'm talking about. And Beckham came back, and they beat the Columbus Crew. Come on, Ralph, you're on board, right?
Yes, I'm back. I'm back playing soccer again where I belong, and I'm very happy to be here.
All right,
very happy to be
all's
playing
well
soccer
in the world
again.
Of the Galaxy now, all
my
right?
My leg feels good, and I'm looking forward to going home with my Spice wife and my children.
He did get a yellow card within 30 seconds of being in the game, and I thought that would be so funny if he got a red card and got kicked out, like, just came back after 2 months.
That sounded so gay.
All right. Just you guys still talking about soccer?
Sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's time for the showbiz beat. Here's
Let's
Ralph.
Talk about showbiz news, shall we? It is Monday. That means we look at the big weekend movies. Resident Evil Afterlife with Mila Jovovich.
Oh.
And Ali Larder.
Oh.
And about
3D.
Four other super hot chicks.
Just you never thought that zombie killing would be so freaking sexy.
Can you do the In a World with Mila Jovovich and Ali Larder in 3D for me in
sure.
that voice?
In a world... where zombies rule and smoking hot babes hunt them. It's Mila Jovovich, Ali Larder in Resident Evil Afterlife.
See, I'm in. I mean, that's number one right there. It makes all the sense in the world.
And it was. $27.7 million made it number one. Takers was number two with just $6.1 million.
Has anyone seen that?
Takers? No.
Has there ever been a worse name for a movie than Takers?
No. Although I'm looking forward to the sequel, Givers. And then Pitchers and Catchers will be following.
Not Hoarders. Oh, hey now.
And Hoarders. Right. And the American was third. Machete was fourth. Going the Distance was fifth. The Other Guys was sixth. Last Exorcism, The Expendables, Inception, and Eat, Pray, Love, rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. We didn't mention the MTV Video Music Awards last night. Lady Gaga was the big winner. She was nominated for 13 awards, took home 8, including Video of the Year for Bed Romance. She changed her outfit like 6 times, apparently, last night.
Every single time the camera was on her, she had something different.
Including her meat dress, which I thought was good. She broke out the meat.
She wore a meat dress, and she had meat on her head.
Yep.
I know that sounds weird, but
was it grilled?
No, it was raw meat.
It was raw meat.
A dress of raw meat, a hat of raw meat.
That seems a bit unsanitary.
Can you imagine sitting next to her in the audience watching the award? What the hell? There's some brisket going bad someplace. Where is that coming from? And then you sit next to her and she's got bacon wrapped around her neck.
Old meat dress.
Old meat dress.
A meat hat.
So, congratulations, you won 8 awards, and I guess Eminem got 2 awards. He was nominated for a bunch, too, but he only got 2. He wasn't there to get them, though.
No, he performed and then was gone immediately.
Yeah. Smartest man in the room, by the way, that Eminem. Oksana Grigorieva is in the news. Apparently, she is tired of living off the measly $5,000 a month that Mel Gibson has been throwing her. She's lucky to get that.
Who can live on $5,000, Ralph?
No one. So, she has hired herself a high-priced...
celebrity relationship attorney, a guy named Sorrell Trope, who is one of the toughest guys in the business. He has done work for Brooke Mueller, Britney Spears, late Anna Nicole Smith, and apparently they're looking to get 8 times what she is currently getting per month from Mel.
Wow.
By taking him to court.
So I'm no math whiz, but that's...
provocatively dressed all the time with your fake boobs you feel you have to show off.
Boobs.
That's 40 grand a month.
Yeah. That is.
That's a lot of scratch.
That's better to live on than 5 grand a month.
It is. I mean, if you can get it.
Turns out.
I'd go with 40.
Celebrity rehab. New frustrating situation over there.
Uh-oh.
New drama. Apparently, Janice Dickinson didn't get along with someone on the show.
What are the chances of that?
Very slim, in my opinion.
Could not have predicted it.
She and Tiger's ex-girlfriend, Rachel Yucatel, apparently had a personality clash. And rumor now coming out of the Daily Mail tabloid that Rachel left the show a week early because she just could no longer stand Janice Dickinson. And so it was either her leave or they had to have a Botox off. They had to you draw a syringe at 30 paces and
how
then
do you win?
Try to jab the other guy in the brow, if you will. Christina Hendricks. See Mad Men last night?
No.
Oh, Joan was just on fire last night.
Oh, was she?
She is being ill-treated over there at Draper Price Sterling Campbell.
I wish I would have watched that instead of the MTV Awards.
I wish you had, too.
Yeah.
But she said she's got bigger problems.
Fat.
No, she is not fat.
What's
shut
wrong
up.
With you?
She is, she
her
is
biggest
a
problem.
Perfect woman of pulchritudinous excellence. She says, however, though, when it comes time to go to the award shows, like the Emmys, hard time to find a dress.
Yeah, I imagine.
Because of her, why? Because of her measurements? Or
yeah, exactly.
Gigantic, enormous boobs.
Giant boobs, giant butt, small waist. A lot of designers aren't making dresses for that shape.
Shame.
And so, you know, she has to, what they do with these awards ceremonies is that the women put out calls to all the designers, and these designers volunteer. They say, we'll give you this dress to wear if you say who you're wearing on the red carpet. It's a good publicity thing for dress designers. She couldn't find a dress because everyone kept sending her size zeros and size twos, which is the majority of the waifs in Hollywood, and she is a size big.
Boobies. I like boobies.
Let me just hit up the old Stater Brothers, get a nice couple pounds of ground chop.
That's right.
Slap it all over yourself.
Do what Gaga did. You don't need to worry about it. Get yourself just a side of beef and just hollow it
That's
out.
That's it. You're good.
Stick your head through it like a poncho. Show up the awards. It's just that simple. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Randy Jones of the Village People is 58 years
all
old
right.
today.
Is that the police officer? Did you do some research?
I did not.
All right.
I will look into that for the next hour,
Do we really care?
Nope. Yes, we do.
Not a bit.
And we're all going to do the YMCA thing.
He's the barista.
He's the barista? I don't remember that being one of the Village People. I remember the cop and the construction worker.
There had to be.
Indian.
Sure.
I don't remember a barista. Dave Mustaine of Megadeth.
There it is.
Celebrates his 49th birthday today. Radio and TV personality Tavis Smiley. Is 46 years old. Wasn't he the game show host on Sesame Street? Wasn't Tavis Smiley always the guy they used to be the game?
It sounds right.
I think it was.
It actually sounds correct.
No, I think it was Guy Smiley.
Oh, actually. There you go.
Yeah. He's 46. Steve Perkins of Porno for Pyros and Jane's Addiction is 43. Actor, director, legend Tyler Perry is 41 years old. Fiona Apple turns 33. And Ben Savage of Boy Meets World celebrates his 30th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 10 minutes after 7 o'clock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. A lot of people call up after we play that song, even though it is 30 years old, and it says anything 500 times, and they ask what the name of it is.
Yes, they do.
And the name of that song is anything. tomorrow morning, our breakfast with Linkin Park. Make sure and tune in for that. Last night was the MTV Video Music Awards, and they did a lot of commercials during that for a new TV show called World of Jenks. And we have Andrew Jenks on the phone with us right now. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Were you surprised at the number of commercials they aired? I think they aired it every single time there was a commercial break.
Yeah, they started a drinking game every time there's a commercial you say drink.
Now, explain to people who you are, how you got MTV's eye, and what this series is about.
I'm just a documentary filmmaker. When I was 19, I moved into a nursing home to see what it was really like to live with, 300 senior citizens and live within those confines. And I was lucky enough that this, little documentary made, it was about 90 minutes long, played at festivals around the world, and then was on HBO, and someone at MTV had seen that and called up, and we kind of bounced around ideas and thought it'd be cool for me to move into different subcultures for, with kids in my generation.
Now, you were at NYU. And you just decided that's what you were going to make your first movie about? That's how you were going to do it?
Yeah, well, I was living with 300, young 19-year-olds where we're all thinking about the future and what's next. And while that was going on, my grandfather just moved into a nursing home. You're also living with 300 strangers, but everyone you think is kind of consumed with the past, and it can be pretty gloomy. And I just thought, well, what would happen if a young person moved into one of those situations and see what life was like on that end of the spectrum?
You are so much a better person than I am.
How long did you stay there?
Leave a dorm of all people your age and move into a rest home. How long were you there?
5 weeks.
Five weeks.
And how was it?
It was unbelievable. I mean, we stuck away from kind of, a lot of people go in there and would bash the assisted living facility itself. And we just took the time to really get to know the residents. And it was just a matter of kind of humanizing them. So, we got to know the grumpy guy. We got to know the really funny woman, the smart woman, and everyone had their own character, just like, anyone else does.
Was there a horn dog?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? Of course.
I always picture those guys, they're just, gotta get me some tail. Now, last night did they show the whole episode or the one where you go with the, hang with the rapper Mano?
Yep, they show the whole episode, and then tonight is our considered our premiere, even though we had an episode last night, and that is where I move in with a young guy with autism. So it kind of shows the spectrum of the show. We have a rapper in one episode, and today is I move in with a young kid with autism.
This rapper Mano apparently was in jail, served time for kidnapping, had a giant scar on the side of his face, tatted completely, and. Here's a clip from that particular one where Jenks throws down.
You know what I done been through to get here? You see this? You see this in my face? My.
No, what is that?
Yeah, this. Yeah, you see this 8-inch scar? My.
What is that?
From print. Yo. Come on, man. The wrong with you? I'm gonna tell you what you should do.
Okay.
You come. Listen. If you got enough heart and balls, because you keep standing up, I'm gonna knock you.
I'm listening to you. I'm going to stand up and listen to you.
I'm going to
stand up and listen to you. You don't need to knock me out. I'm just going to stand up and listen to what you're saying.
Me, listen.
It has nothing to do with me being white.
Let me tell you
why
something.
Why does it have to go to me being
because
white,
you don't
though?
Understand. Let me just say this.
So that means I'm not from where you're from. It has nothing
definitely
to do with me being white.
You need to come to where I'm from. It ain't got nothing to do with you being white.
Right.
You need to come to where I'm from.
All right, so let me go to where you're from, and that will be that.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
It could be.
Right?
What would be a bad idea?
That guy's life, I mean, he, there are rappers and then there are rappers. That guy's life seems like it's a little more extreme than most.
Well, anytime you spend 10 years in jail, life will be probably pretty more extreme. I mean, I thought, he had this trademark where he would stick up his middle finger at cameras, and I was just saying, you're an inspiration to a lot of people who are trying to turn their lives around, which is true. He speaks at juvenile detention centers. He speaks at boys and girls camps. And I was just saying, why did you do that sort of thing? And he made a decent point, which was when I go back to where I'm from, people still need to be able to recognize who I am. And if I was speaking properly and not doing some of the things I did 20 years ago, people would think I'm a bit of a fraud, and I still need to be able to relate to them.
Right.
So that was the point he was making, and, that's kind of the, sometimes you shouldn't bring up serious conversations late at night, I guess.
You live with a young homeless woman? That looked fascinating.
Wow.
I saw the trailer for that one. That looked fascinating.
That was the hardest one. It's probably the most compelling just because, we've all seen homeless people, but at least I had never spoken more than a word to someone, much less spend 8 days on the streets. And, it's tough. Like, we have a bad day at work. We always know we can go home to bed and sleep at night. And, we have a bad day on the streets. You go and you sleep in the park. You sleep on the corner of a street. And anyone can wake you up. A cop can wake you up. A robber can wake you up. A rapist can wake you up. And it's just that life was the toughest. But the girl that we followed had this incredible spirit, which is somehow uplifting. And I think that airs in a couple of weeks, which I'm really excited about.
Did you do that one before or after the pro cheerleader?
Yeah, no, we did the first year there after that one, for sure.
Cleanse your palate.
you gotta stay fresh somehow, right?
Yes, you do. It's called The World of Jenks. It's on tonight. Is this normal night, right? Monday nights?
Yeah, exactly. It's, yeah, Mondays at 10 here on out, definitely.
There you go.
Sounds
Mondays
great.
At 10 on MTV. It's called The World of Jenks. Andrew Jenks has been our guest. Thanks for coming on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, man. This is The Kevin and Bean Show. Former sports guy Money is in the studio.
All right. Smith. That's me, yeah. All right.
First weekend of NFL. How great was that?
It was pretty great.
Oh, so
it
good
was
to have
pretty
football
great. Back. I got that game mix on the DirecTV where I can watch 8 games at once and highlight the audio from whichever game I choose.
Yeah, that's cool.
How do you do that, seriously?
What do you mean how?
How do you concentrate and watch 8 games?
I think it's evolution. I really think
really?
You know, as a male, I have evolved to be able to have just 2 eyes but 8 pictures in front
that's
of me.
Unbelievable.
And I can take them all in.
And you can arrow over to whichever game you want and then you hear the audio from that game. It's the best.
Yeah, when I tell people how much that super fan package is, they're insulted, especially in these trying economic times.
It's ridiculous.
And I say, you know, and I mean it when I say it, those DirecTV people, they could triple it.
And I still, you still pay it.
Sweetheart,
why
the kids are no longer going to parochial school. They're going to public because I got to have my super fan. That's just the way it is.
I watch The Red Zone with Andrew Siciliano, and that's that's where they take you to each game where something's happening, and you kind of can watch all the games at the same time, just not all of them on the screen at the same time.
Yeah, see, to me,
any way you want to do it,
the Red Zone is kind of like the piranha. You know, it's there, it's evolved, it's a fish that can defend itself and probably live a long, healthy
attacks,
life,
my friend.
But the game mix, that's the shark.
All right,
you
well,
know,
maybe,
that's the great predator.
Maybe that Andrew's thing is for starters, for people who can't do it themselves.
There you go.
He's still developing.
You know what, Lisa? I think that's
well put.
And you're fully developed.
That is well put.
Yeah.
And as Andrew stands with all those different colored remotes strewn in front of him, I mean, you really get the feeling like, hey, this is a guy that knows a lot about the NFL.
Yeah,
he knows a lot about remotes.
Because he's got 30 remotes in front of him. So clearly
insane. He's
got something figured out.
All right, what was the game of the weekend? Which game had 9 turnovers, 10 turnovers?
Yeah, well, here's the thing about the game of the weekend. I think when it who would have ever guessed that I would waste my DirecTV Superfan package by watching the two worst teams in the NFC North, the Bears and the Lions, go at it, and it ends up being...
Well, you're a Bears fan.
And it ends up being the game that everyone's talking about today because of some ridiculous call in the end zone that prevented the Detroit Lions, who are a group of losers, let's face it, from winning the game.
And that's a new rule change, right?
Well, it's a change that... This is the thing, and this is something I dealt with when I worked with the Lakers. You know, and you talk to officials, and they say, you know, what happens is... It's kind of like government spending. You keep adding, but you never take anything away. So all you do is spend more and more money, right?
Right.
Same with the rules in these professional leagues. They keep adding new rules, but they never take any away. So these officials' heads are just spinning with all these new rules they have to figure out every year. And this one, for those that didn't see it, because, I mean, first of all,
who would have?
God help you if you didn't see the Bears-Lions going at it on a
when I
Sunday
see Lions,
morning.
I just move on.
You run away.
Well, they have won a combined 2 games in the last 2 seasons.
That's true.
That's so sad.
And what happens is when a receiver catches the ball, if he's falling to the ground, he has got to hold on to that ball when he stands up again. If the ball is dislodged, no matter how it's dislodged, if he has 2 feet that land, a knee, an elbow, but if the ball comes out, it's not a catch. So yesterday, the Lions...
But didn't it used to be the ground can't cause a fumble?
That still is the case for a running back or a receiver that has established possession. Now, in the end zone, apparently rules change. See where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
They really put a lot of rules in here. It's quite ridiculous, and I think it overrides common sense, and that's what people get upset about. You see a guy catch a ball in the end zone, and you say,
and
holy
he
crap.
He had it.
Totally had it. The reason
so then what happened?
He was going to get up.
Yeah.
And the dumbass used the ball to push himself up off the ground. And when he did that, it popped out of his hand. But they ruled. And you know.
So they ruled no touchdown.
But it was a correct interpretation of the rules.
Of a horrible rule.
Of a horrible rule. Much like, remember, Raider fans. I mean, I say it. And right now, there's a Chevy Silverado with a tinted black window and a giant Raiders logo that's driving off the 110 freeway in disgust. But it happened to the Raiders with the Tuck rule against the Patriots a few years ago in the playoffs. Well, geez, it was nearly a decade ago. God, do the Raiders suck.
they find new ways to lose every single season.
Yeah.
It must be so disheartening.
They really
First thing this morning, we talked to a Raider fan. He's like, I don't know what to do.
I know.
So much hope,
he
so much promise.
He was born a Raiders fan.
New quarterback, and they got waxed by the Tennessee Titans. But, you know, I guess for the Raider fans that are freaking out right now, I think the Titans are going to probably end up in the Super Bowl.
You do. They're that good.
That's my Super Bowl pick for the AFC. I like the Tennessee Titans and Chris Johnson and those wacky wacky dreadlocks and his gold grill running all over the place. And so maybe it'll get better. You know, we'll see if the AFC West is all right for the Raider fans, and they can maybe, I don't know, enjoy a nice 8-9 win season.
My Arizona Cardinals beat up all over the Rams.
You know, I'll tell you, the Arizona Cardinals, I mean, remember, this is a team that was in the Super Bowl a couple weeks ago. And, a couple years ago. And a couple weeks ago, they cut, you know, Matt Leinart. Yep. Now they've got some giant, wacky, you know, size 18-foot quarterback running around back there with clown shoes on as the new face of their franchise. And it's going to be tough going, man. Yeah. It's going to be tough sledding. Tough sledding in that AFC West, Kevin, with your Arizona Cardinals.
There's two games tonight. The Ravens and the Jets. I don't know if you watch the Hard Knocks.
Who doesn't watch the Hard Knocks?
Great,
that's what I want to know. You know,
the
wife even loves watching the Hard Knocks. You know, that's how good HBO does, man, with that particular show. And I'll tell you, if you're maybe you don't like football, but if you like the F word,
that's the show to watch.
I mean, it really is the show to watch.
It really is.
They replaced the Sopranos. You know, they had this giant meeting. You know, those HBO suits. Okay, listen. Sopranos really work because of the F word.
A lot of F words.
So we got to figure out what we can get on the show, on the network here that has the same amount of F words. And they really outdid themselves with Rex Ryan and the Jets on the Hard Knocks.
So basically they go behind the scenes of the, you know, of training camp and everything else and cutting the team and how the guys make it. And it's fascinating.
Yeah.
And then the Chargers play tonight against the Chiefs.
Yeah, the Chargers, I guess the other team here in Southern California, the people have the interest in. It's going to be a tough game. I think people like the Chargers as a favorite coming out of the AFC West, and rightfully so. They have the most talent of any of the teams in that division. But
until December, January, and then they usually...
Then, of course, they choke in the postseason. Arrowhead Stadium, man, there are some places in the NFL, and now that I'm doing these college games, you know, when you hear about how hard it is to play on the road, you don't realize what it's like in other parts of the country. Like when I went to Alabama to call that Alabama-Tennessee game, or you go to these NFL cities like Kansas City and Arrowhead, it's violent, man. I mean, it's violence without violence, if that makes any sense.
People
in the stands, you just feel like, you know, if they were allowed to, they would just come storm the field, rip your arms off, and just beat your teammate over the head with your limbs if they could. That's how angry, it's palpable, the people in the stands are when you roll into that town to play your football
game.
The
only place where they actually do that is Philadelphia.
They're not happy today in Philadelphia. I think it's safe to say that the Ralph's Birds, the fans of the Birds there, they're freaking out right now because the quarterback of the future, their redheaded Kevin Cobb, spelled K-O-L-B, pronounced Cobb, is the guy that led them to trade the face of their franchise for the last decade plus, Donovan McNabb. Hello.
And to their direct competitor, which is always good.
Yes, to their direct competitor who won a game last night for the Redskins, while Kevin Cobb, I think, completed one pass for like half a yard and then got knocked out of the game with a concussion.
Yeah, it's going to be a long season for certain
for
teams.
All of us.
Well, at least they have the felon that came in to replace him, and he played very well.
Sure.
You know, if you're into dog fighting and second chances, then you got to be pretty happy about what the Eagles have going today.
All right, we need to take a break.
Matt
Money Smith is here. We're talking sports. We'll be right back on the Kevin and Bean Show. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 7:38. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Matt Money Smith is in the studio with us.
Yeah. You know, I was driving in, and you guys were talking about how awful Chelsea Handler was on the VMAs.
Wow, she was bad.
And it's a true story.
Right.
So I stop at the 7-Eleven up the street to get some coffee, because the stuff here is awful.
Yes.
And as I'm walking in, the female crackhead, screams at me for some cash. And I'll tell you, this was out of central casting. I mean, just skin-tight jeans that were all dirty, missing front teeth.
Oh.
So I get my coffee, and inside, they've got another morning show going.
Right.
I don't know what it is. The voices aren't familiar to me. But I walk out of the car, and you're playing the highlights
of
how awful she was.
Right.
And I walk into 7-Eleven, and this morning show is talking about how great Chelsea
really?
That's not possible.
And also playing sound
the
clips.
Same
and,
stuff?
And they played the exact same sound clip you did.
That's not possible.
I'm dead serious. And about her beating up the dude that was dressed up in case Kanye came back on
Are
stage.
Are you kidding me?
And I don't know if it was like their weather guy, but he's like, ha ha ha.
Are you
funny. She is just hysterical, that Chelsea Handler. Yeah. And then I got back in the car, and you were still rolling with how bad Chelsea Handler
I tried to give her the benefit of the doubt because I'm not familiar with her.
I was wildly entertained. Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
They were using that as an example of good, something, not another joke. She did have a couple of decent jokes.
They played another one about shotguns. She snuck in shotguns in her purse, and they were
that was not funny. That wasn't either. Funny. Yeah.
They were howling, man. I mean, they were selling me on her. Wow. And by the, you know, I had my coffee and my Tiger Mom, and I was like, yeah, you know, that Chelsea Handler's pretty damn funny. I got back in the car. I'm listening to you and Ralph and Lisa Mann. You're playing. I'm like, man, that Chelsea Handler sure does suck.
That's so bizarre.
I'm so easily influenced by morning radio hosts.
So if somebody else says she's good, you're going to be fine with
her?
I'm
going to get back in and on NPR. And Chelsea Handler hosted the VMAs last night. I found it quite entertaining.
You're going to go, she's funny.
Actually, I do find that Chelsea Handler wildly entertaining as well. Yes.
You're too easily influenced.
I know.
You need to have a mind of your own.
I have no spine, no backbone.
Let's talk college football.
College foosball, yeah. I was out at the Coliseum on Saturday, called the USC-Virginia game, which very well could have been the worst football contest to broadcast in the history of the sport.
Here's the thing about Matt Money Smith. A friend of mine, known him a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, he's on the show for a long time, and I keep up with him. And he always tells me, I'm calling a game on Saturday night, blah, blah, blah. And I search endlessly for those games, maybe 5 or 6 times specifically so that I can listen to him do play-by-play. Doesn't do it.
Yeah, you got to have a ham radio. Shortwave.
I think you're lying.
And shotgun, it's Mark Verica.
I've never
Motion
been able
man
to.
Is Joe Torsha, and it's Inman down the field, right sideline. Pass is complete for 15 yards.
I haven't been able to find you once.
Because the SC games are, you know, they're embargoed on the radio by the local station, I got to get them out of town. You know, they can only put them on in, like, San Diego and Bakersfield, so you got to find one of those signals that come in. But I'll be doing the Oregon State Boise State game in 2 weeks, and that I believe you'll be able to find rather easily. That's probably going to be, you know, I think, I don't want to say it's the game of the year, but it'll be one of the most interesting games of the year, because if Boise State wins, they have very little in front of them that you would say looks like a loss.
How does Boise State become a power?
Coaching.
How does that happen?
It's just coaching and continuity. You know, there's so much turnover in football where guys are given. You know, we have this situation in L.A. right now with Rick Neuheisel. He's in year 3. It's going terribly wrong. People assume by now they'd be competitive. It's UCLA. Look, people always talk about USC in football. UCLA has always been toward the top of the Pac-10. You know, they've always been team 1, 2, or 3, and they have gone through a horrible drought. And Rick Neuheisel just got waxed by freaking Stanford. And Jim Harbaugh, who's in year 4 and now has his team looking like they're making their way into the elite of the Pac-10. So football coaches don't get a lot of time. At Boise State, they have this guy, Chris Peterson, who's been around a long time. He's a great coach. He recruits players for his system that he knows are going to work, and they stick around for 4 years. And by the
time
they're
seniors,
seems
like that would be a tough sell to get people to go at, when you have all those options.
Yeah.
To go to a school like Boise State, you know, it seems like maybe you're not going to get the airtime, you're not going to get noticed.
Well, I mean, think about, you know, U.S., the Coliseum, you can seat 90,000 people. Their stadium seats 30,000. You're not in L.A. You're in Boise. You're playing your football on freaking blue turf, for God's sakes. And you're in a conference where you're going up against Utah State and New Mexico State.
Right, so how are you ever going to get noticed?
Exactly. Well, and that's the remarkable thing, is the only way you get noticed is by taking on these giant schools that ought to beat you by 4 touchdowns. And winning all those games.
Yeah.
And that's what has now happened the past few years. And after beating Virginia Tech, they have an opportunity to maybe beat Oregon State, a team that challenged for the Pac-10 last year, challenged for the Pac-10 the year before, and might find themselves as the ultimate Cinderella in the national championship game. But in town,
what are the
I think
chances
things are,
of that, though?
That's the problem with college football is, I think, probably slim. You know,
I stopped betting on college football not gambling. I just meant like credits.
Sure.
A long time ago, because it's the most impossible sport to predict.
Well, you're talking about kids, you know. I mean, and that's the thing about amateur athletics as opposed to gambling on you know, the NFL or Major League Baseball. You're dealing with kids and kids. I mean, you know, University of Iowa, right? Iowa goes to the Orange Bowl. They win last year. They waxed Georgia Tech. They're going to challenge for the Big Ten this year. They're starting running back, you know, white dude out of North Dakota running the ball in Iowa. I mean, this is a hero.
Right.
He decides to just up and leave in training camp because his girlfriend dumped him. His long-distance girlfriend in North Dakota dumped him. The best running back they have on a team where they recruit giant white dudes to open up big holes for this white dude to run through and become a hero to the people of the Midwest.
Right.
I mean, they just pile up ears of corn on his on his doorstep for days. He'd never have to buy a meal again. And he decides to leave to go be with his girlfriend because he's super sad.
Is he playing
that's
somewhere
just,
else?
No, no, he's not just playing. He just decided to leave school. You're and that's kidding. I think that's just kind wow. of, that encapsulates the amateur athlete, that these kids deal with different issues than professionals do when they roll out onto that field.
That's,
you know,
I guess
on
that's
Saturday.
Why such a low percentage of the college players ever make it to the pros.
It's hard, yeah.
It's a really tiny percentage. Yeah.
It is, and I think with USC and what they're going through, I was not impressed with that team on Saturday night. That looks like a team that's going to get just waxed by the top tier of the Pac-10.
But is that partially because mentally it doesn't matter?
You no,
know, like
well,
they can't really...
I don't think so.
The embargo
it,
and all that?
It matters to them because, you know, they're out
that's
there.
That's all they have.
They're doing 40 hours a week of practice on that field. That is not an easy job being a college football player. So I think those Saturdays matter to them. Now, look, they may just be trying to figure it out with a new coach and new systems and depth issues where they're getting more tired because they don't have as many guys on their team that other teams do because of that loss of scholarships. So I think there's a myriad of factors for SC that they're dealing with, and we'll see. If it goes bad, though, I think that comes into play. If they lose 2-3 in a row, you know,
then everybody goes,
kids are saying, yeah, whatever. I'm going to smoke weed with the baseball team.
I'm sad. My girlfriend left me. I'm just going to go.
It's wacky the way it works in college athletics. But, you know, that's what makes the Boise State thing even more remarkable is everything has to go right. And you're already at a disadvantage because of where your school is and the conference you play in.
And the blue field.
And the blue field. Yet everything has gone right for, you know, three, four years in a row now. And it almost looks like this is another program that's just going to be a juggernaut and keep winning and winning and winning and won't slow down.
Well, that certainly would be the story of college football, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
If they can keep this up throughout the season. All right, Matt Money Smith, he's on the Petros and Money Show weekdays, 3 o'clock on Fox Sports. And you can also follow him on Twitter, but I wouldn't. It's not that good.
It's all right.
Is it all right?
It's all right. I think it's all right.
I tried for a while.
Yeah.
I was not impressed.
You really
got to do wacky stuff to keep Kevin's interest on the Twitter.
Take photographs of my makings in the bathrooms, things like that. Is that what you want, Kevin?
That is what Kevin wants.
I would follow.
I'm going to give you poker tips.
Yeah, I can use that more than anything. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it. K. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 7:55. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, Jenna Jameson apparently is working on a new book. I don't know if you guys ever read her first book, How to Make Love Like a Porn Star, A Cautionary Tale. It was actually a fascinating book.
Was it?
She was, I don't know how much help she had, but it was an easy read, and it was interesting, and it was her life story, basically, how she rose to prominence in the adult film industry and what she had gone through as a youth and how her life experiences contributed to her choices and stuff, but it actually was very interesting.
What's this one about, then?
Jenna said this second book, which she says I have not titled yet, I am working on a second book about being a mom and also being Jenna Jameson as a mom, which, as you can imagine, probably would be different than the average experience.
I think that would be a challenge, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She said, I want to be remembered for being somebody who didn't follow the rules. I did what I wanted to do, and I think it's really important for women to be free and not to be stigmatized. I felt like I led that movement a little bit, so I wanted to be an icon.
Okay.
She also was asked about the porn industry. And would she recommend other young women pursue such a lifestyle? No, it's a hard lifestyle. I made the choice and was able to get through it unscathed, but I don't recommend it to anybody, she said. To which I say, shut up! You're ruining it for everybody with that kind of talk.
Keep that to yourself.
The answer is yes, I recommend it to all hot women. Get into porn.
That isn't good for you.
That's the right
answer.
There
seems to be no shortage of women getting into porn.
Lisa, you know, doesn't seem to be any shortage of oil right now either. I'm driving around in my car. I got plenty of gasoline. But what happens when it all goes away? Then where are we?
Let's not be so cavalier here.
We're stuck.
One might slip through. What then?
Whoa.
Stuck without cars and things. You don't know, man. You don't get it. Looks like Jennifer Lopez still may be a judge over there on American Idol.
I don't care anymore.
It's tough negotiations, according to insiders.
They still want her that bad?
They want her bad. And she wants a lot of other things bad.
What does that mean?
It means she is putting a lot of conditions on her deal with Fox in order to make this thing happen.
reportedly, she has accepted the $12 million they're offering her as opposed to the $15 million she asked for.
12 for how many seasons?
Oh, that'd be just the one, Kevin.
One season, mm-hmm. $12
million. Yes.
Wow.
But the powers that be...
I'll take 10.
Say that she's also asking for a movie deal at Fox. She wants a guarantee that one of her films will be put together over at Fox and released by 20th Century Fox, of course, the parent company, Fox Television. And she wants a TV deal for Fox TV as well. She wants to be able to develop sitcoms and whatnot for the network in addition to the salary that she's getting.
Wow. That seems odd. Is that normal?
Nope. Now it's going to come down to how badly they want her, apparently. There's a lot of stuff they have to consider before they say yes, and she's asking a lot.
What movie was she in with George Clooney?
Out of Sight.
Yeah, that was
with
good.
Steven Soderbergh.
That was the only
great
good
film.
Movie she's ever been
I've
in.
Never,
it was a
I don't
great
know.
Film.
Yeah, she was good in it,
she's
too.
She can be very good.
Yeah.
Even in the bad, crappy romantic comedies that she makes that my wife watches incessantly. God damn, she can watch the same movie over and over and over again.
So can you, but it's just not the same one.
But she's missed out on so much. And I say to her, instead of watching The Wedding Planner the 27th time, why don't we pop in, I don't know, Chinatown or Citizen Kane or
it's
something
like
you
haven't
seen. That you would probably enjoy, that is a really well-done film that's considered a classic.
Yeah.
More so than The Backup Plan. But even as I'm walking through the room, and she's watching these horrible films, and I will stop to see what kind of pollution is going into her eyes.
Right.
Oh. I say, Jennifer Lopez is a really sort of talented, likable, natural, engaging performer.
Yeah,
she's
agree.
A very entertaining actress. With horrible choices in projects. But but look, those movies make money, too. They're cheap to make, and they make big profits. So who's to say? And this would be a big profit for her, too, if she can get them to say yes to this deal. So
$12 million plus a movie plus a TV series.
And she wants them to hold off the announcement if she does agree to be the judge until it's the same week that her new single drops from her new CD. She wants it a big sort of publicity campaign.
She's
focused on her.
She's got it all going on.
Yeah, look, she's in the catbird seat. She can make the outlandish requests, demands, because they need her more than she needs them right now.
Never been in any sort of catbird seat myself.
Really?
I don't know what
that is. You should try the catbird seat. It's right next to the meat seat.
Oh.
It's where Lady Gaga sits for the MTV Video Music Awards. As we mentioned, those were going on last night. The big winner was Lady Gaga. She was nominated for 13 awards, took home 8, including Video of the Year for Bad Romance. What's actually more impressive is that since Gaga was nominated twice in some of those categories.
Yeah, that was weird. For two different videos.
Two different videos, sometimes in the same category.
Yeah.
So it was a ton of nominations, and it's the most awards with 8 that any artist has ever won in one night. So congratulations to Gaga.
Remember we were playing...
Ra, 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 ma, ra, ma, ma, Gaga, ooh, la, la, ra, ga, ra, ra, ma.
So this, you got that going on.
I love that. I don't know why, but I do. I listen to that and I say, yes, that's enjoyable.
That's not enjoyable.
It's Monday. That means we take a look at the big movies at the box office this week, and there was only one clear winner, and that was Resident Evil Afterlife, debuted with $27.7 million in box office money. Making it number one by far, dropping off over $20 million. Number two was Takers with $6 million. Then The American, Machete, Going the Distance. The other guys, Last Exorcism at 7, The Expendables at 8, Inception, and then Eat, Pray, Love, rounding out the top 10. The box office this weekend. Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Randy Jones of The Village People is 58 years old today. I did some extensive research into the history of The Village People. And we have come to the conclusion
American Indian?
That Randy Jones was the cowboy. That's right.
Cowboy
is the lucky answer. If you picked cowboy, you're our grand prize winner. Congratulations.
What do they win?
You win, I don't know.
Hearty handshake.
A hearty handshake and some lubricant.
Ooh.
Dave Mustaine of Megadeth.
Yeah.
Is 49 years old today. Radio and TV personality Tavis Smiley turns 46. Steve Perkins, drummer for Porno for Pyros and Jane's Addiction, is 43 years old. Actor, director, tycoon, mogul, Tyler Perry turns 41 years old today. Fiona Apple turns 33. And actor Ben Savage of Boy Meets World fame turns 30 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Congratulations to Jennifer Russell of Pasadena. Just won tickets and backstage passes to Epicenter.
Nice.
Giving away those tickets all day today. Keep listening for your chance to win. Right now it's time to bring in LaQuisha, as there was a special episode last night of the Jersey Shore. Hi, LaQuisha.
I think every episode of Jersey Shore is special.
It was a special night, I should
special,
say.
Special episode.
Right, exactly.
You have to double it up because it's already special, and then it was special.
Did
on
you
top of it.
Did you see the Jersey Shore on the MTV Video Music Awards?
I did not.
They were in rare form.
Well, they're so multi-talented.
They really
all
are.
Of them. Mm-hmm. They can perform in any situation, no pun intended, and really make themselves stand out from the crowd.
Now, what happened last night?
Well, you remember the episode last week, Angelina, who hates Vinny, got drunk on a night out on the town, and they both ended up coming back to the house and having sex.
That's right.
Right. Hate sex.
Or yeah. Smushing, as they call it on the show.
Okay.
Who smushed last night? Did you smush? Who's in the smush room? Oh, I hope they didn't smush. They should be smushing. Shut up, Jersey Shore people, with the smushing. So the next morning, you know, you get that feeling of regret sometimes.
Yeah, sure.
After you've had a long night of drinking.
Mm-hmm. What did I do?
And I think Angelina has that this morning.
I can't believe I even hooked up with Vinny. He's not my type. I was drunk. That's about it. You know, you do stupid things when you're drunk.
And when you're a whore. That you forgot the second half of that.
A drunken whore as well, yeah.
Now, let's not forget that Vinny, who is the youngest member of the Jersey Shore cast, he also had sex with Snooki earlier this season, remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's
yeah.
working his way through the house.
He is.
Now, Snooki has learned that Angelina had sex with Vinny after she had sex with Vinny, and that does not sit well with her.
When Chloe told me that Vinny and Angelina had sex, I wanted to actually vomit because I actually hooked up with the kid, and now he's hooking up with Angelina. Like, that's disgusting.
When Snooki's calling you disgusting... How disgusting are you?
Oh, come on, though. I mean, she's the most disgusting of all.
That's like Chelsea Handler calling you unfunny. That is really quite the insult from Snooki when she says you're disgusting. Last night's episode was very Vinny-centric. It was a lot of Vinny going on.
All right.
His family shows up, his mom and some cousins and his uncle Nino, who turns out, I think, either is a first-generation Italian... Or had a stroke. I'm not sure. Because you really can't make out what Uncle Nino is saying at any particular part of the episode.
You can't understand my Uncle Nino when he talks. But, you know, 5 seconds later, you catch like the last two words of what he's saying, and then it all sinks in.
So, are you sure where you're going? I said, oh, give me the key. I'll be right back. I'll run in the corner.
What is that?
That's a man trying to communicate with other human beings.
No, it's not.
Now, sometimes when he's being really extra special, concentrated on what he's saying, he can get something out. Like this hilarious piece of comedy he did for the cameras.
I went to the doctor, told me you guys stop drinking, stop doing drugs, stop having sex. You know what I did? I switched doctors.
Oh, unbelievable.
He's Andrew Dice Clay?
Well, Vinny, as I said, it's a very Vinny-centric episode last
right.
night. Vinny goes to a club later in that evening. Isn't that always the way on every episode?
Of course, they have to go to the club. Yeah. And he's creeping, right?
He's creeping.
Sure.
And he's hoping to smush. And he look across the room and he see a girl dancing in a cage on a table at a nightclub. And he looks at her and she's all pretty with dark hair and smoldering eyes. And he just knows this is the girl for him.
Finally, the heavens have answered, and I found a girl that, you know, I might be able to introduce to my family one day.
Yes, yes.
What?
Wait, no. She was in a cage?
She was in a cage, dancing at a nightclub in, like, a bikini underwear deal on a
right.
stage, dancing.
But it's Vinny's family, too, so maybe she fits.
But is that really your criteria for finding the woman you want to spend the rest of your life with? Oh, look, she looks good in... plexiglass heels dancing on a table full of drunken Cubans.
That's what I look for. I don't know.
Well, he falls in love with her. And he decides that unlike the other girls that he just creeps on and smushes, he wants to take her out on a date.
Oh, wow.
Because Paulie has found a girl that he thinks is special, too, and he's going to take her out for dinner. And he can't remember last time he took a girl out for dinner. So they make a plan to do like a double date thing. And Vinny calls this girl, Ramona, who was dancing on the ball. And I tell you something, this boy has moves.
If you want, my friend, I don't know if you met my friend Paulie with the spiky hair.
Mm-hmm.
We might go to like a little restaurant and then maybe out afterwards. He might call some girl and I need like a sympathy date, you know what I mean? Because I don't want to be left out, so.
Aww.
You know, if you want to do me that favor.
What girl could turn down that invitation?
Really?
You didn't have the guts to just ask her out?
No, he's really? So pathetic.
Please tell me she said no.
No, she said yes.
Oh, because there's cameras.
Yeah.
And she said, yes, I will go out with you on your sympathy date with your lame-ass friend, and he might bring someone, and you may go to a restaurant or something, and then maybe go out or something afterwards.
What a romantic.
That sounds like a wonderful evening or something. But then, when he goes out and gets a haircut and buys some flowers and gets a new wardrobe for the big date, another phone call come in.
Hey, sweetheart.
What's going on?
Hey, listen,
Yeah, just go. Just tell me. Whatever you have to tell me. So you don't want to come tonight?
No.
Not so much. Remember that whole thing I said I would go out with you? I really thought long and hard about it.
And talked to some friends.
That was a mistake on my part.
You know what's funny about that is that he sounded like he knew immediately why she was
coming. Well, this girl's way out his league, first of all. And I think he knew he sort of just kind of backed her into a corner to go out with him in the first
place.
Well,
that was a pathetic way of asking.
Very pathetic.
Yeah.
So I think he knew that there was a chance that she might come to her senses. So he's really destroyed about it. But at least he takes it like a man and calls her back after she has said no.
Oh, no.
To beg a little bit.
Oh, no.
It's just dinner. Please, 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 pretty please.
Oh, my God, you're so cute.
Come on, please.
Nope.
I got you really nice flowers.
Oh.
Come on, please.
Wow.
I'll see you.
You can? All right, I'll see you. I'll see you.
Okay,
bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So she says, okay, I will go out with you.
Yeah.
And then does not show up.
That's so fast.
So at least she feels so guilty. She says yes on the phone.
I love her.
Stands him up.
I love her so much.
While he's sitting there holding his flowers like a big old dog.
After begging.
And Vinny really has a bad night as a result.
I thought I woke up in a bad nightmare. You know what I mean? I got these flowers. I got a haircut. I wanted to go out with her. And then she didn't come. You try not to let a girl bring you down, but at the same time, you can't fight with your feelings sometimes, and, you know, it sucks.
Oh, poor Vinny. There's no justice in the world. After all the girls that he has brought home
right. And
never called again and thrown out in the middle of the night after he was done using their vaginas and being all rude to them and lying and
making fun of. He was so smooth.
He gets treated like this by a woman, that's just not... Oh, wait a minute. That's called justice. That's called karma, bitch.
That's so funny.
Live it.
She didn't show up.
Yeah.
All right, Lucretia, thank you.
Bye now.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and time for the Afro Line. You can leave a message 24 hours a day, any topic, 323-520-AFRO. We're not always here, but it's always on. The first one is about, I believe, DJ Omar Khan's remix. I don't know if you've heard that. But
yeah, the Megamix.
The Megamix. You should definitely go to the website, kevinandbean.com, and check it out.
DJ Omar Khan!
That's it. That's his excitement.
I don't understand what he was saying.
He was saying DJ Omar Khan.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
That's it? Okay. Good.
That's what he was saying. Let's see here. This is a guy who's tired of some of the other Afro calls.
Stop with the doo-doo calls. Stop it. Knock it the f*** off already. If I could find each and every one of you doo-doo Afro callers, I'd punch your families in the face. Stop with the f*** doo-doo!
Would you punch them with doo-doo on it?
Ah!
See?
Oh, it never gets old.
Lick, lick, Lisa. Lick, lick, Lisa. With doo-doo on it.
See?
Just see?
That's always funny.
We did that just for that guy. Psycho Mike fan.
Psycho Mike, I do not like you. In fact,
you can go to H-E double toothpicks. What?
Yeah.
Toothpicks. H-E double toothpicks.
That's how Lisa said it. And she was hearkening back to her days on the Western.
On the prairie. Yeah. That's what we said when Father Murphy used to come and visit me and Pa Ingalls at the sawmill.
Miss Cleo left the show. She's moving on to bigger and better things.
Yeah.
Or not, either way. I don't know.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. Miss Cleo's no longer on the Kevin and Dean show. This is so depressing. Seriously, I...
We have to auto-tune that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, got awesome. That. Got that already. Already done.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Saddest cry in the world. This guy's blaming me. I think it's his fault.
So I'm sitting in a coffee shop the other day, and I overhear a passing conversation that involves the words, do you know what he did, or did you hear what he did, or something along those lines. And I swear to God, I blurted out to a complete stranger, what did you do? God damn you guys.
Yeah, it's our fault.
It is your fault. That's... Not our fault. It's your fault.
What did you do?
What did you do? How can you not say that? I've been saying it for weeks. I don't even know what it means or where it came from.
I don't know where it came from.
What did you do?
That's my favorite piece of audio that we've ever played.
That's like anything I ever say, though.
What did you do?
Seriously.
What did you do?
All right, so this dude's mad at me because he has no arms. And...
No, that's not why he's mad at you.
That,
no,
he's mad at me because I have arms.
No, he's mad at you because you said, F the guy with no arms. Stop trying to prove that you can do things, lay down and die because of that posting you did on the website.
I didn't say lay down and die.
You said stop doing anything.
For all you kids who have no arms, just realize now that you're never going to do anything because, you know what? You have no arms.
That right,
was how you, that's how you finished it off.
But it was supposed to be funny.
Well, to some people, maybe it was. To others, it was just hurtful.
Really? You received an email from Mr. Willits? He has no arms. Are you effing kidding me? You know what? That. I'm with Kevin. That guy. He can type with his feet, too. That guy. You're right, Kevin. Yeah. What a dick. Asshole.
Yeah. Having all no arms and everything. Being all no army. Yeah, how dare he?
That guy's going to be on the show Wednesday.
Thank God. And I am going to be squarely in his corner. I will be his arms for whatever he needs
if
on
he
that
wants,
day.
If he wants to throw a punch, he'll
then
do it.
And there will be punches a-throwing.
Tomorrow morning, our breakfast with Linkin Park.
Yeah, I was calling to get tickets to Kevin Bean's breakfast with Linkin Park, but then I heard that there was a rapist up in Linkin Park. So you better hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your girlfriend, hide your husband, because they're raping everybody up there. Kevin Bean's breakfast with Linkin Park. So you can run and tell that, Tally.
I don't think that's true.
Well, I heard it's true.
We haven't played that enough, so I thought we would give that another spin.
Let's do it.
Antoine Dodson.
Dodson struggled with her attacker, knocking over items in her bedroom. Antoine Dodson heard his sister scream and ran to help.
Well, obviously, we have a rapist in Linkin Park. He's climbing in your windows. He's snatching your people up, trying to rape them. So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband because they're raping everybody out here.
The attacker got loose and went out the upstairs window, but he did leave something behind.
We got your T-shirt. You done left fingerprints and all. You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real. You don't have to come and confess that you did. We're looking for you. We going to find you. I'm letting you know now so you can run and tell that, homeboy. He's climbing in your windows. He's snatching your people up, trying to rape them. So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband because they're raping everybody out here. We got your T-shirt to the left fingerprints and all. You are so dumb. You are really dumb, so dumb, so dumb, so. He's climbing in your windows, he's snatching your people up, trying to rape them. So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your kids, hide your wife, and hide your husband, cause they're raping everybody out here. You don't have to come and confess, we're looking for you, we gon' find you, we gon' find you. So you can run and tell that, run and tell that, run and tell that. Homeboy.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, our breakfast with Linkin Park. Right now, our man Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Good.
How was your weekend?
It was good.
You know what made my weekend, Harvey, was the word that Spencer Pratt was in trouble with the law. That made my weekend a little bit better. What happened with him?
Well, I mean, here's the part. I understand part of it and don't understand part. He got arrested apparently at the airport in Costa Rica coming back to L.A. And he got arrested because he said he was hunting for survival for 2 weeks before, and that he had guns, and he brought the guns to the airport.
Okay.
Okay, number one, he was staying at the Four Seasons.
Yeah.
Okay?
Well, you know, Harvey, they make you track and kill your own food there at the Four Seasons.
I didn't know that.
They're notorious for that, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so that explains that, but...
Okay, so that was a lie. So, but here's my question, though, Harvey. I don't care what he was doing with the gun. To me, he did that on purpose to get in the news. Otherwise... Who brings a weapon to an airport?
I wouldn't want to get arrested in a foreign country just to be in the news because you don't know what's going to happen.
Right, but he's Spencer Pratt.
But see, that's what I agree. It's like, it's 9-11. The day it happened was 9-11. And it's like, he got a citation and they let him go. Although he's saying they told him never come back to Costa Rica again, which I can understand.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they were going to say that anyway, even if he had been stopped at the airport. That was a conversation they had planned when he got there.
So he had one gun or two on a carry-on.
I think there were two, but anyway, so here's the thing.
All right.
So he's back in L.A., and so we get a picture of them yesterday. He is with Heidi in Carpinteria at this breast cancer walk.
Right.
So they're together.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
So, well, again, the question is, were they ever apart?
Were they ever separated? Was the whole divorce thing a scam? We were thinking the whole time, we don't know. You've learned... just to distrust Spencer no matter what he says.
But if they're screwing with the legal system and they're filing documents that they shouldn't be filing just for publicity, they can get in trouble for that.
Yeah, you would put that past them, though, Harvey, honestly.
Well, I'm saying that it's worth some investigating.
That's what I'm saying. Let's investigate.
Harvey, if he was bringing guns back from Costa Rica, does that mean he flew with guns out of the United States into Costa Rica?
You know, that's a good question. I doubt it. I mean, I'm guessing that he picked them up there because he really was staying at the Four Seasons now. I think what I wasn't joking. He really was staying at the Four Seasons.
That's awesome.
I'm hunting for my own food. Come on.
And that, of course, leads us into talk of the sex tape we've heard so much about with Heidi Montag and the Playboy Playmate.
Well, I got to tell you something. If I could just make a little bit of a left turn here.
Yes, for sure.
That's interesting. But there's another one that has surfaced that was supposedly in the camera that Spencer has. Explain that one to me. But this apparently really is the case, that there was some tape between Carissa, that playmate,
right,
and Sam Jones.
The actor from Smallville, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
So,
why did he have that?
I don't know why he had that. I mean, it's a whole convoluted story.
Let me back up. Do you know he has that?
I'll tell you why I know. Steve Hirsch from Vivid Entertainment says that he has seen this tape. It's 2 hours long, and it's the hardest court sex tape he's ever seen. And he says he wants to get this. So last night, you've got to see the show tonight, because last night we get Carissa and Sam Jones coming out of Boa, right, which is because they didn't want to be shot.
Right, sure.
So they're coming out of Boa, and I am telling you guys, this is the worst acting I've ever seen from anybody on TMZ.
And you've seen a lot.
I have seen a lot, and they come out, and Sam Jones is saying, oh my God, it's awful. I just don't know what to do about it. And Carissa is sitting in the back pretending like she's crying. And you got to see this.
So is your opinion that they're just goofing around, they're happy to have it out, or what?
They were trying to show indignation, and it was just like the worst acting ever. You got to see this.
Wow.
So they're trying to pump up the scandal aspect of this to make it a bigger release when it finally is released by Vivid, right?
And you just smell that it's going to be, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. A lot of smelling. Now, Spencer and Heidi, are neither of them are in it.
Neither of them are in it,
okay.
Right.
Good. That's good. That makes it even better. All right, Harvey. There's a lot going on. There's Oksana getting a new lawyer.
She wants more money, right?
Yeah.
Well, she wants, she's getting $5,000 from Mel, according to the agreement that she signed. Her lawyers went in and asked for upwards of $40,000 a month. And the judge hasn't ruled on it yet, but basically she hasn't gotten anything more than she got when she started this thing, so she's pissed off and she's lawyer shopping. So she's been, you know, going here and there over the last couple of days looking for a lawyer. And it's like, I keep wondering, how's she paying them?
Yeah, good point.
What's up here?
Well, they would have to do it on, I don't know, lawyer speak, but
they don't do it on contingency fee. They
right.
really don't.
And, oh, they
know,
don't?
Mel foot the bill for the last, I think Mel had to pay like $250,000 for her lawyers before. But at a point, you know, a lot of people think she sold those tapes.
Sure.
And, you know, is she hiding money? And there are a lot of people who think that's how she's paying for all of this. But who knows? But she's going all over town looking for lawyers.
All right. A lot going on, Harvey. Always a lot going on. TMZ.com. TMZ
Watch the
television.
Show tonight.
Watch the show tonight. You can see the worst acting that you've ever seen. That's quite a claim. Thank you, Harvey. You're the best.
Bye, God.
Carolina Liar on the world famous K-Rock 106.7. KROQ, it is 8:57. This is the Kevin and Bean Show.
Got some gas. Sorry.
Ralph, the host of your favorite TV show.
Don't have to tell me.
Bachelor Pat.
My wife is so jealous. My wife has seen every season of Bachelor and Bachelorette. And now is obsessed with Bachelor Pad. She was out of her head when I told her that Chris Harrison was going to be here.
Yeah,
Harrison.
And I have to admit, I'm now, you know, I told you I'm hooked now.
You're suckered.
It started with Allie with the last season of Bachelorette for me.
She was the one who
started
they got
watching
the
with the wife. You know, because when you got a new baby, you don't get to spend a lot of time with your significant other.
Right.
That's not focused on poop.
Yes.
And spit up and things like that.
You're owning those
So places. When you finally get the baby to sleep or something, whatever my wife was doing, I decided I would do it with her because right. I don't get a chance to spend any time with her. Usually when it came to watching television, she would have her time and I would have my time and I would be on the computer or something when that was happening. But she, I decided to watch TV with her and every Monday night she had to watch The Bachelorette with Allie. And so I started watching begrudgingly out of love for my wife. And then by the end, I was hooked. I was like, oh, no, you didn't just break up with him before even the final ceremony. I came and I became a weenie.
Did you call her during the day? Can't wait for tonight.
Oh, who do you think she's going to pick? I think Rodrigo is dreamy. And then Bachelor Pad started and now I'm hooked on that.
All right. Well, that's coming up next. Right now, it's time for a look at the Showbiz Beat with Gay Ralph.
How dare you, sir?
With Ralph.
Yeah. Before I get started with the showbiz news, I've got some tickets to give away to Epicenter 2010. It's going to be quite the event.
Yes, it is. 2 days.
2 days. I got a pair of two-day tickets, backstage passes, the whole thing. Of course, it's Bush, Kiss, Eminem, Papa Roach, House of Pain, Big B, Blink-182, Rise Against, 30 Seconds to Mars, Bad Religion. This is amazing, this lineup for this concert. What a show. September 25th and 26th, tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com if you'd like to purchase them. But if you're the caller number 5 right now, 1-800-520-1067, you won't even need to buy tickets because I'll just give you a pair.
And backstage passes.
That's how I roll. Let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? We do it every Monday morning. Resident Evil Afterlife. That Mila Jovovich, by the way.
Yeah.
She's hype. Fighting zombies in this one to the tune of $27.7 million in 3D. Takers was number 2 at the box office, $6.1 million.
27 for number 1 and 6 for number 2?
Bit of a discrepancy between 1 and 2. American was 3rd, Machete was 4th, Going the Distance was 5th, The Other Guys, The Last Exorcism, The Expendables, Inception, and Eat, Pray, Love rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Lindsay Lohan appeared on the VMAs last night, did a little cameo in the opening hilarious sketch that Chelsea Handler did.
Yeah.
And because Lindsay appeared on television, that naturally goes to follow that Michael Lohan put out a press release.
Oh, come on.
God. Why does her dad do this?
Because he is a desperate, pathetic little man.
Well, why doesn't he stop?
Here's the press release from Michael Lohan. For a long time now, I have been worrying and praying that my blessed and gifted daughter would find her way back. At times, I was too vocal. I made the wrong decisions and certainly handled things the wrong way. I constantly asked God that if it was his will to take me before her, which I stand by to this day.
I would like to ask for that as well.
While some have made their pacts with the devil, I made mine with God to take me first or simply help Lindsay find her way back. And if so, he can do whatever he wants with me. Tonight, I know my prayers were answered. On the MTV Music Awards, I saw, heard, and know that Lindsay Lohan is back. And I believe she will be back better than ever.
Wait, he's talking about her career.
Yes.
Not her as a person or daughter.
Nope.
Wow.
He's talking about her 25-second cameo in the opening vignette with Chelsea Handler, where all she did pretty much was make fun of the fact that she was a drunk.
Yeah.
Wow.
But she's back, Kevin.
God has answered Michael Lohan's prayers. Now maybe God will answer mine. And smote Michael Lohan with a lightning bolt from on high. He's ridiculous.
He is ridiculous.
This poor girl, we should have known she had no shot. With him as a dad and Dina Lohan as a mom, this Lindsay Lohan had no chance.
She's lucky to be alive.
That poor kid. All right. Let's talk about other hotties, shall we? Oh, my goodness. Look at the time. We're running out of time. All right. The next hour, I got some Megan Fox news.
Oh my God, yes!
That you're going to find wildly entertaining.
I love her so much.
It involves her and the restroom.
Oh. Wait. Well, that's right at Mike's alley.
The bell is for the first half of that, her.
Look at Mike. Yeah.
Mike's hoping it involves German porn of some kind, but sadly, it does not.
Chili dog?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Ben Savage from Boy Meets World is 30 years old today. Singer Fiona Apple turns 33. She's fat. I think she's still married to that movie director, Paul T. Anderson. Weren't they together for a long time?
Don't know.
Magnolia director?
Don't know.
We'll have to look into it. Actor-director Tyler Perry is 41 years old today, speaking of directors. Steve Perkins of Porno for Pyros and Jane's Addiction is 43. Dave Mustaine of Megadeth celebrates his 49th birthday. And Randy Jones, who we have positively identified as the cowboy of the Village People, celebrates his 58th birthday. I wonder why he never went solo. The Village
Can you
person.
Imagine?
He should have just been the Village Person and just gone out on stage and just rocked that 10-gallon hat and give me a little why.
He couldn't. Just no, that's all
I
got.
Would tell he got, because the other guys have the M and the C and the A. But he could do his new single, Why. I would like that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and we have Chris Harrison in the studio with us.
Hey, gentlemen.
What's going on, guys?
Host of the wildly successful Bachelor, Bachelorette, and now Bachelor Pad TV series, Ziz.
And we have ABC. We have actually four more series with the word Bachelor in them coming soon.
All right.
Yes.
Bachelor Father, Bachelor Party, Bachelor of Cookies.
Bachelor Retirement Home.
Let's talk about the franchise quickly, if you don't mind. Like I said, my wife's a huge fan. She's seen every series. I'm late to the party. But as I watched a couple of them. I noticed that there's a different energy when there's a bachelor versus when there's a bachelorette. The bachelorettes seem to be filled with a bunch of guys who are competitive, and there's a lot of douchebaggery going on, and they seem not entirely likable for the most part, but then you whittle those people out and you get to the good guys. The women on The Bachelor tend to be just balls-to-the-wall crazy, Chris. Just like a bunch of insanity in that house when the women get together.
First of all, is douchebaggery, is that hyphenated?
No, it's not. It's all one word, yes.
No, there's obviously a different dynamic because of, you know, the women, I think, come in, and maybe Lisa can attest to this, of they realize how horrible it is to date out there. So you see, you have these beautiful women, say it's Allie or Jillian, and obviously they can get a date outside of TV.
Right.
And I'm like, why are you doing this? And like, you don't realize how bad it is. When a good date is, you don't have to be dropped off at the police station at the end of the night to feel safe. Then you realize how horrible it is to try and date out there. And they know this is a great opportunity with 25 very successful men. So I think the essence of it is these women come in a little more sincere and I really want to find a husband. Whereas the guys, when it's just a bachelor, is like, this is going to be a good time. If I find love, that's great.
Okay. But the girls seem to be crying within like 4 days. Well, seems like somebody's just losing their mind on that show early on.
Are you talking about when they're competing against each
other? Yeah,
when
the women are competing for the guy, the women in the house are all living together, tend to just lose their minds.
I think when you have women competing, it changes everything. It becomes a competition.
Well,
it's way less about the guy.
Ever been to high school, fraternity, college,
right,
whatever,
sure.
The dynamic is guys will, if we have a problem, the three of us in this room, and we'll even include Mike. He's almost a guy. half a guy.
Wow,
we have three and a half guys in this room.
Sure.
We're going to get it out. I will rip you to your face. We'll put it on the table, measure it, and we're done.
Right.
Women, not so much. It will fester.
Yes.
You will,
we talk to everybody else but the person.
Which makes for great TV because you will go behind the scenes. You will stab them in the back. You will
manipulate.
Put poison in their coffee.
Yes.
Whereas guys, I'm going to call you a fool and it's over.
Right.
Or
that is true.
I'll drop you.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, one or the other.
And there's general douchebaggery.
That's exactly. Speaking of great TV, I would often watch the show and I would sometimes feel sorry for you. Because I said, here's this poor guy. He's doing his job. He's trying his best to keep this insanity together. And he is just the ultimate professional. He's just forced to be calm and cool at all times. And then I watched the interview that you did with Jake and Vienna.
Right.
The legendary couple that was supposed to be so in love, and then everything went down with him on Dancing with the Stars, and they all both went to separate tabloids and told their story. And there was a moment there where I think I saw the real you peek out.
Uh-oh.
What happened?
Where she was saying, well, my dog, I had to bring my dog in because my dog was sick, and he didn't like my dog, and he didn't take care of the dog. And he's like, well, your dog should have. And Chris said, it was my favorite moment of the interview, all right, nobody really cares about your dog. And that was the moment I was like, that must be the real him. He must be such an asshole.
Can you get Pete on line three, please?
Go home and rage?
I go home and I just sit in the fetal position and I suck my thumb and my wife just rubs my back until I go to sleep. And there's some things that don't wash off. That interview was one of them. And
that was something else.
And my point was, not that I hate dogs, people, so ease up, but you know, if you've known anybody who's ever been in a relationship or been in one yourself and seen divorce, breakup, whatever, it's never about the coffee was too hot.
Right.
Or,
right.
You know, that whatever, you left the toilet seat up. That's just like the camel, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back. Right. And yeah. So that was my point, is it's not the dog. It's not the GPS system he threw through the car. That's not what's breaking you guys up. Let's get to the bottom of it while I'm still alive and I'm not trying to choke you guys.
But yeah, I was going to say, were you ready to throw a punch, though? It sounds like Ralph saw a little,
saw a little crack in the facade. I saw the real you just
slip out.
Just a little bit.
It was late. And it was like 4 in the morning. I was weak.
And I was like, yes, good for him. I was like high-fiving my wife. Chris is going to take somebody out in this episode. Maybe he's finally going to snap.
No, in all honesty, that interview, I really didn't see it going that direction. I was a little caught off guard. I knew they weren't going to make out and, you know, go off into the sunset together. But I was like, we're going to find an amicable split here, shake hands.
Yeah.
And it just disintegrated.
He was screaming. She stormed off the set. It was great television.
And then they both now just really can't get enough coverage.
No. Yeah. They like themselves some spotlight.
Put that hate out there. Yeah. Chris Harrison is here. He's our guest. Bachelor Pat is on tonight, Mondays at 8 o'clock on ABC. And we'll take a quick break and come back on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, our breakfast with Linkin Park at 7:30. 7:30 Pacific. Tune in. Breakfast with Linkin Park. Right now, we have Chris Harrison in the studio. He's the host of all of the Bachelors and Bachelorettes and Bachelor Pad.
Bachelor Pad is the best because it's all the lunatics and rejects from all the other shows just put together in a big house and made to fight each other in a cage for money. It's awesome.
We call it the All-Stars, but I like your description.
All-Stars.
Yeah, tonight is a two-hour finale, and the first hour is really the wrap-up from the house, the final competition, and then I say, Final Four, I will see you all in a few months in front of a live studio audience, and that we shot last week, where we will name the winner of Bachelor Pack. $250,000 on the line, by the way, which isn't too bad.
Yeah. Now, does it go to a couple, or is just one of them walk away with that?
We'll see. There is a twist tonight.
Oh, a twist. I love a twist.
At the end, which is great, and it was, you know, it was fun to do this show because it was late summer. I mean, as you know, Ralph, nobody launches a show around Labor Day.
Right.
I mean, except for us, it was meant to be fun. Don't think too hard. Get a great box of wine and sit back and watch this. You know, it was just fun.
Your audience,
right? Yeah, it's not. I mean, Bachelor Bachelorette is held in much higher esteem. Bachelor Pad was just a fun kind of game show.
It's like, how do we recycle the people that we booted off the other shows and bring them back?
We wanted to do an all-star edition of our show, but we could never really figure out a way without ruining it. We never wanted to do an all-star Bachelor, because then it's about the people, and our show has never been about that. So it was a way to do an all-star show and make it just more fun, kind of an homage to our fans.
Who's the worst of the worst, or the best of the best, depending on how you want to describe
it? Yeah, I mean, you look at, like, Wes, who's on the show, and he kicks it up a notch tonight, and he may be the real winner when it's all said and done tonight. I mean, obviously he can't win. He's been voted off, but he may be the real winner, and you'll see what I mean tonight. He and his guitar.
He was hated when he was on The Bachelorette.
I listen to K-Rock all the time. I never hear Love Don't Come Easy. That's his big hit.
That's his big song?
We play that late at night.
Breakfast with Linkin Park and Wes. but he was the biggest villain, and I think by the end of tonight, that might be complete opposite.
Really?
And then you have a guy like, say, Rated R, Justin, who was on Ally's season and hobbled off like a pirate in Turkey. And, you know, those guys, for TV purposes, they're gold and they're great characters. But again, they're maybe not the best people. Whereas Wes, right. You know, I think Wes is actually a little misunderstood. He's just an open, honest guy. What you see is what you get. So
do you
want to
date Wes? Is that what, is this where this is going?
But he was one of those guys who was on the show strictly to promote his career, really.
Very
when he,
much
when
so.
He did The Bachelorette. So I think a lot of women especially found him disingenuous and sort of didn't like him much.
And ironically enough, maybe he ends up finding love. I mean, when he and Gia split in the middle of Bachelor Pad, you'll see it kind of come full circle tonight. You'll see this tension with he and Gia, and it plays out tonight.
I could be wrong, God knows, but it seems to me like no one is going on any of these shows to find true love.
How dare you,
I
sir?
Just,
how
just,
dare you?
Because you feel like there was an evolution. In the beginning, people probably were
genuine
for the
that.
Most part,
maybe,
but after you see it for a few seasons,
it's gotta be
you start
all about
to think,
do you really think the best place to find your soulmate is on a TV show? No way.
So
I
well.
Don't think so. But I think people are often surprised about how they feel once they do get into these
when
situations.
When you're in the middle of it, yeah. It might change.
First of all,
so.
Thanks for calling into question my livelihood.
I'm just saying.
I've done for 10 years. No, thanks.
Look, your life's a shit, Chris. We all know that.
No, I think Ralph is right. I think especially for the guys, you know, a lot of them, they come on for the action adventure. We're going to travel the world. People have obviously seen the show. They know what happens.
And being on TV isn't unattractive
right,
to them.
The limelight, but I agree. When you get in that fishbowl environment, and that's where the genius of the producers and creator Mike Fleiss and our executive producer Martin Hilton and what they have created. And once you get on, you get caught up in it. And to a man and a woman, I hear all the time, I never thought I would fall in love. I'm falling in love with Allie. I'm falling in love with whoever. And it changes. And that is the genius of the producing and the environment. So I agree. Maybe they come on for
the wrong reasons.
Ulterior motives, yeah. But it changes. And then obviously it's proven with Allie and Roberto, with you know the successful couples we've had, Molly and Jason. And so it's been a good run.
How many times do the girls hit on you? And then they have to like take that out?
Never.
Or, never? Really?
Never.
Honestly?
No. Unfortunately, no.
Although there was one contestant that
sorry
had a little dalliance with a staffer.
Yeah.
We
yeah,
all
that
remember that
little,
story. That
no,
was strong.
It's funny. I mean, obviously, for people that don't know, married. I have two kids, and they're around a lot. They travel with me, and my kids come on set a lot. I just think it's a great place for my son to grow up.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
learned,
sure.
he's learned
yeah.
quite a bit. You should see him in the third grade. The girls are lined up.
Sure.
And some of the teachers, which is cool.
He goes into class with a bunch of roses and hands them out. Yeah. And the one who doesn't get one, she's got to get let back a grade. She goes back.
Mrs. Hamilton, should you choose to forego our individual study time, we're going to go to the fantasy suite.
Your kid doesn't have a chance.
Dad, when can I get a hot tub? Whoa, easy.
So you're saying they get caught up in it and then they actually find themselves, in some cases,
no,
falling
in love? People say, can you find true love on TV? Obviously. I mean, you know, Tristan and Ryan are actually, they came in for the Malibu Triathlon, which we all did this weekend. And they're staying at the house. And, I mean, they're married, two kids, you know, happily, you know, living their life in Vail. And Allie and Roberto down in San Diego. And Molly and Jason married, living up in Seattle. And it's going really well. I mean, obviously, we have some great success stories. And ironically enough, with Bachelor Pad, finale tonight on ABC. That show lends itself to create more couples. Obviously, with Bachelor, Bachelorette, the potential is one.
Right.
Bachelor Pad, we're
going to
watch tonight, but we're going to walk away with more than one happy couple, which is pretty amazing. Hmm.
But don't you think the phenomenon is, Chris, and I always equate this to summer camp. You're in this rarefied atmosphere. You meet somebody. You fall head over heels in love because you're hanging out in Istanbul or Budapest or right. Prague or wherever you are. And then when it's all over and the cameras go away, sometimes those relationships disintegrate because it's not real. It's an artificial sort of romance. That's built by a pressurized situation.
Why do you hate love?
I'm just saying.
Who hurt you?
Like,
I mean,
a
track
movie
record.
Set.
I don't. Right, if you're on a movie set, you go on location for 3 months.
Somebody needs a hug.
You're in a special situation.
It's those summer camp romances
right.
when you were a kid.
It doesn't lend itself to a long lasting thing. I mean, what your track record is on Bachelor and Bachelorette,
right.
probably about.
No, I don't disagree with that. It's kind of the story of every relationship. There's that glowing period where everything's great and everything's cute. Her little laugh is cute, and then six months later, you're like, I want to strangle her when she laughs.
I can't stand that laugh.
And that's people ask me, Allie and Roberto, will they stay together? All I can tell you right now, this relationship is as strong as can be. Now what happens is life. Does she get pissed off when he leaves the toilet seat up, when she squeezes the middle of the toothpaste tube? But that's real life issues that we all deal with, and that's what they're dealing with now. So will they stay together? God knows, but right now they're happy, they're in love,
right.
And we'll see what life, where it takes them.
All right, so tonight, 8
o'clock.
Is
that too deep for you?
Yeah, no, it's good. It's a good answer.
You lost me.
Who's going to be the next Bachelor? Because I know the guy that Allie crushed in Tahiti, he's not interested. That's what he
Chris.
Says.
Well, you know what? Chris and I just spent a lot of time together.
Do you hang out with everybody who's ever been on this show? They're
he
at your
no
house?
Friends. Part of my contract.
I have no friends.
Having cookovers?
I know. I wish I could drop better names, but I can't. Psycho Mike is like a friend.
Oh, yeah. That's not a good name to drop.
No, wow. In all honesty, he's not completely out of it, but I will say this, and this is one thing we've been discussing, is he right for it? Just because the fans are clamoring for him and want him, but what they really want is for him to do well and be well, and that doesn't necessarily make good television. That doesn't make a great Bachelor. Again, going back to Ryan Sutter, one of the best guys I know, he wouldn't be a good Bachelor. Right. It takes a certain kind of guy, and you know, with Chris, it's kind of a one-hit wonder, one-hit story, that is, you hope he finds a woman and falls in love. And that's, again, that's not necessarily great. So I don't know if it's right for him, and I don't know if the show will be right for him. So
you haven't picked a new Bachelor.
We haven't picked a new Bachelor yet. It's not
set yet.
Would
you consider Flavor Flav?
It's been done. How about Psycho Mike? You could fill the house with guys, girls, whatever,
that's
and still
right.
have
matters.
A shot.
Mostly,
you know,
guys.
Everything's fair game.
Woo! Maybe on second thought, not so much.
Bad idea.
Chris, thanks for coming in. It was great to meet you.
I appreciate it, guys.
Chris Harrison, Bachelor Pad series finale?
Series finale. This
tonight.
Is it.
Can't wait to see
8 o'clock, ABC. Ralph will be there crying.
I will. I'm right there on the edge of my seat.
A pint of Chunky Monkey and a nice Chardonnay.
Hey! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 9:43. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
It's Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. You can tell what people are going to see in droves. And this weekend it was Resident Evil Afterlife, the Mila Jovovich zombie movie.
Zombies can run now. They can run. They can dig and crawl and tunnel. They used to just be really slow.
Yeah. They used to just sort of amble along.
I'm going to have to revise my zombie plan to get away, because they are very different zombies than they used to be.
My plan remains the same.
Which is?
Surrender.
Just become one of
them. Become one of them. Look, if you can't beat them, join them, I say. Looks like they're cool, by the way. Looks like they have a good time.
It doesn't look like they have
like
a good...
They worry about a lot of stuff. Doesn't seem like they have a lot of stress in their lives.
True.
They seem to be relaxed and just looking for brains. That's what their day is. Simple, clean.
That's my day.
Focused. Yeah, really. That is your day. You're a zombie who never found the brains. Takers was number two at the box office, $6.1 million. American was third. Machete and Going the Distance made out the top five. Then the other guys, Last Exorcism, Expendables, Inception, Eat, Pray, Love. That's your top 10 at the box office last night. Lady Gaga was the big winner at last night's 2010 MTV Video Music Awards.
Because of her meat dress?
Because of the meat dress.
If you wore a dress of meat.
It's all about the meat.
And a hat of meat.
Remember the guy we had who had that website? Hats of meat.
Yes.
Little did he know that Lady Gaga would be his biggest and probably only customer when he made her a flank steak chapeau.
Those words have never been used together.
No, they have not. Lady Gaga won 8 awards out of the 13 that she was nominated for, sometimes several nominations in the same category.
I didn't know that was possible.
That's how talented she is. Eminem won 2 awards last night, had to leave after the show opened to fly back to New York. He was in a big hurry not to be there any longer, according to friends.
He won an award like 15 minutes after he performed. He was already gone.
Oh, I'm so sorry, but I have to not be here now because Chelsea Handler's coming out on stage. I promomised you Megan Fox bathroom news last hour, and now here it is. This is from an Us Weekly magazine article entitled "Stars That Hate Toilets."
All right,
"Stars That Hate Toilets" is the category.
That's
like
an article.
Alex Trebek. Barbara Walters has a strong, strong, uncontrollable fear of being locked in a bathroom.
Because that happened before?
It must have. There's no real explanation here, but apparently she's
weird.
Mighty afeard of being locked in a bathroom.
Huh.
Carrie Underwood uses the farthest stall away from everyone else for privacy. Anytime she goes into a bathroom, if it's a public bathroom, she has to look and see who's in the other stall.
Check the feet.
And then find the furthest stall away from those people. I don't know what she's doing or what she's eating, where she needs some sort of blast zone, where she needs a certain circumference of safety, but she should have that checked out by a physician. That's what I'm saying. What is she worried about? What is she doing that is so
That's
horrible?
A great question.
That
she's hot, though, so I don't like to think of
her
that
She has to
way.
Worry about the safety of others when she goes into a restroom.
Yeah.
And lastly, Megan Fox panics every time she has to flush the toilet.
What?
Because she's a germaphobe. And she says every time she flushes the toilet, she can't help but think about the water forcing particles of things up into the air, and it makes her panic and break out into a sweat. She's afraid of atomized poo, basically, is what she's afraid
of.
Well,
that's why you closed the seat.
I'm not a fan of it, if that's the
question. Lucy, you might be interested to know, I don't know how many public facilities you've been visiting, but there are no lids. There are no lids in a public toilet.
I was thinking of the home
use. Just a bare-ass, naked toilet there if you go into the supermarket or the mall.
You're right.
You don't have that choice.
Good point.
And it can erupt like a fountain. You never know.
And it panics Megan Fox no end, knowing that there's poo atoms flying around when she flushes.
I don't blame her. They're a good band. That's something true.
They are a great band. Mickey Rourke's got a new gig. He's just been hired to play a mafia hitman in an upcoming movie called The Iceman. Confessions of a Mafia Contract Killer. Apparently, this is based on a real story of a real dude named Richard Kuklinski. Excuse me. Kuklinski. Who spent 40 years with the mob.
As a hitman?
Knocking dudes off. While maintaining the life of a husband and father in suburban New Jersey.
And his family didn't know?
Never knew.
Wow.
That was his life.
That's amazing.
How was your day today? Fine. What'd you do? Nothing.
It was messy.
Shot a guy in the head.
Vampire Weekend. We'll play 3 sold-out shows this week in New York City at the Radio City Music Hall. That should be a good show.
Yeah.
You know they do a cover of Bruce Springsteen's I'm Going Down from the Born in the USA album?
No, I didn't know
that's
that.
The song that seems to perplex their fans the most.
Yeah,
I would imagine it would.
It's a strange choice.
But they say they love playing it. And Alice in Chains also hits the road this week on their headlining tour. It's a triple bill that includes Deftones and Mastodon. The arena tour begins this Thursday in Chicago and wraps up October 16th in Las Vegas, Nevada. If you want to check them out, you can go to their website, of course. And William Duvall, the new lead singer and guitarist for that band, says that they're going to go to work on a new album. Right after they get off the road. So sometime this winter, they'll start working. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Ben Savage of Boy Meets World celebrates his 30th birthday today. Fiona Apple. She's been a bad, bad girl. Remember that song? Oh, I think she's sexy.
I do.
Still?
Those giant eyes. She has like the biggest eyes of anyone I've ever seen.
That's only because she's so skinny.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
She needs to eat.
Maybe she's emaciated.
Yeah.
But she always strikes me as one of those girls holding a kitten in one of those paintings you see. Mm. You know, the paintings of little kids, like holding a kitten in these giant saucer eyes or whatever. See them in hotel rooms and stuff, just freak you right the F out. She strikes me as one of those people.
She also strikes me as a party.
Oh, sheesh. For sure. Bye, ho. I could tell you stories.
I don't think you
want to know. I could, trust me. Right. I will. The minute we turn off these microphones, so I don't incur any legal action.
Sure.
Tyler Perry's 41 years old today. Steve Perkins' Porno for Pyros and Jane's Addiction is 43 years old today. Dave Mustaine of Megadeth celebrates his 49th birthday. This is for Alex and Dave in the other room. Joey Tata, who played Nate, the proprietor of the Peach Pit, on 90210, is 74 years old today.
Wow.
On Beverly Hills 90210, the original.
He's 74.
He ran the Peach Pit.
All right. And they insisted on that?
They said.
Insisted.
What, no love for Joey Tata? I'm like, yeah, I decided to skip over that name. You've done a lot worse birthdays than Joey Tata. Why don't you give Joey Tata? I was like, geez, I knew you felt so passionately about Joey Tata.
Wow.
Anyway, he's 74 years old today. You know, he was also one of the henchmen for the Riddler, I believe it was, on the original Batman TV series back in the 60s.
Mm. Never watch that. That was gay.
How dare you! And speaking of which, Randy Jones of the Village People celebrates his 58th birthday today. He was the cowboy.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Cowboy.
Uh-huh. Ride the range, you know what I'm saying?
No. Nope.
Get along a little doggy, you know what I'm saying?
Nope.
Grab the bull by the horn, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, we have an all-new program. We have Adam Sessler from G4 talking about new video games. Nope, that's Adam Carolla. Very different Adam. We have Internet Roundup for you, another brand new one. We have Tom Beers, who is the host of 1,000 Ways to Die.
Yeah! Mm-hmm.
Always fascinating. And we have Breakfast with Linkin Park.
Oh, well.
That's all.
There's a rapist in Linkin Park.
That's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Hide your kids, hide your wife, hide your husband. Because they're raping everybody out here.
Kat Corbett is next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop. She's going to kick it off with Rise Against. She's got the new one from Arcade Fire. She's
Run,
got
tell
Phoenix.
That.
homeboy.